Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
You may not know this about me, but I'm kind of an undercover nerd when it comes to studying the global economy. I love seeking out financial wisdom when it comes to my own portfolio. I value precious metals. Noble Gold is the only firm I trust to buy gold and silver from, which can serve as a hedge of protection in your IRA. First reason, they are a U.S.-based company. Supporting American businesses is so important. Second reason, Noble Gold has impeccable online reviews. A great online reputation is a must if you're going to trust the team's financial counsel. Third reason, Noble Gold has an experienced staff who works hard to make life easy for you. Any paperwork that might pop up takes less than 5 minutes to complete. Maybe it's just an old 401k that needs a home. Maybe you're just like me and you're curious about your options. If so, grab a free gold guide by visiting NobleGoldInvestments.com to learn more. I respect this team and you should as well. Call Noble Gold right now. Tell them you heard about investing on my show and they'll find the right plan for your budget. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. NobleGoldInvestments.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the live stream tonight. We have some amazing guests to start tonight. Here in Arizona, we have Congressman Gosar and Congressman Biggs to try to unpack what is going on in the state of Arizona. Congressman Biggs, I'll start with you. You are no stranger to close races.
That's right.
Just for a lot of our viewers all across the planet, they're confused of what's happening in Arizona. What is going on in this great state?
So what happens, Arizona is a first in, first out on the count. So we do 30 days of voting, right? And the first votes that you're going to see counting that we start about 2 weeks before the election day are all the early ballots. Then those that come in late, those are the ones you see counted the day after the election. Those are the what we call late earlies.
Yeah.
And then you never even, for a day or two, you don't even get to the day of ballots. And now where we are is everything from some late earlies left over. You've got some walk-ins that were left over. Now you've got what we call provisional ballots, people who needed, who cast a ballot, maybe they spoiled the ballot and it needs to be checked out before it's counted.
So how much is the president down as of right now? Now, all the votes have not been counted. Is that right?
Right.
Is he down like 15,000 votes?
Under. 14,216 as of about 5 minutes ago.
So, Congressman, how is it that the networks called Arizona with so many votes left to be counted?
Well, you know, we ban subliminal messaging, but we allow that kind of subliminal messaging to the general public. That's problematic. You know, they wanted people to shut down and just give up. I find it offensive, and particularly when you start to see he was 100,000 points down in Arizona and now down to 14-2. Pretty amazing.
So some people are saying the president will not win Arizona with the current drops. We don't know that yet, right? We don't know what the last drop will be. But some people are also saying there were a lot of irregularities in how votes happened here in Arizona. What are you hearing and seeing? And most importantly, just what are you guys as members of Congress thinking about doing when you get back to D.C. in regards to all of these irregularities across the country?
Well, so just I'll give you two or three. And I know Paul probably has two or three examples, too. A lawsuit was filed Saturday because we had people who would go in to vote. And poll worker would press a green button. We call it the green button lawsuit. And that vote would be canceled. And we think that there's at least 1,000 of those. So that might provide a change. I've received anecdotal stories that we need to investigate of illegal aliens going in and voting in Arizona. So that's a problem. And then some of this stuff it's anomalous where you have a state legislator outperforming the president by 7,000 or 10,000 votes in a conservative district where on day of Republicans were returning ballots 2 and 3 to 1 in that same district. So
Congressman Gosar, you're from one of the more conservative parts of the state. Mm-hmm. Did the president perform as you anticipated in your part of the state, in your district? And just more broadly, how is it that Arizona is even this close? It's just stunning for a lot of people to think that an open carry state, mm-hmm. President Donald Trump still down 15,000 votes.
Absolutely. Well, my district, he performed very, very well. But once again, Charlie, this isn't the same. They don't use the same software as Maricopa. They don't use the Dominion software. Mm. And we sat down with all our county recorders last year. And they went through the whole process of what problems would exist. And that's exactly what we're seeing.
So just from a more U.S. congressional standpoint, you know, we have a whole board here that can't be seen right now. But mm-hmm. we are getting hundreds of thousands of emails from people across the country. Right. And we're getting millions of views because people feel as if this thing was robbed from them. Truly. And I am not – I'm involved – I'm in that group of people because – you look at the numbers, you look at the mathematical laws that were defied, you look at 100% vote drops just for Joe Biden, Dominion voting systems that changed 6,000 votes from Biden to Trump, actually the other way around, but then they fixed it, it went from Biden to Trump. It changed an entire district in Michigan, a massive voter registration increase in Pennsylvania, 1,774% increase for just 90-plus-year-olds in a pandemic. Are there going to be hearings looking into this? I mean, are you hearing a lot about this?
Yeah, we are. And there should be hearings. But Charlie, in the Senate side, you're going to have hearings on this. In the House side, we're going to probably try to put some hearings together in places like the Freedom Caucus. Mm-hmm. But we're going to still be in the minority.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that means that Jerry Nadler is going to be over this. And I sit on that committee and he's not going to do diddly poo to find out what happened here because they don't want to be transparent.
No, they don't. I mean, but just looking at this, people, if Joe Biden wants to govern with a quote unquote consensus, right, and to be called President-elect Joe Biden, I refuse to call him that until we get answers to these questions.
Absolutely. We absolutely should have those answers to those questions. And this should be a teaching moment where we earn the trust of the American public, Charlie. Trust is a series of promises kept. We have shown no trust whatsoever for the American public in anything that we do. So therefore, what we ought to do is we ought to have a forensic audit here in Arizona. So, you know, I've called on the governor to call the legislature back into session and have the legislature do the forensic, pay for the forensic audit so that we get down to the brass tacks. So everybody knows how they voted, where they voted, and that their vote counted.
Do you think Governor Ducey will do that?
Well, we'll see if there's bigger minds than mine that can force him to do that. We'll see.
I mean, because it seems, and I'm of the opinion that Arizona should not seat their electors until all the other states are able to answer these questions.
No, I think, and that's a fair point, Charlie. And so, I don't know if the governor is going to call him into special session. I don't think he will. We're trying to get the county board here in Maricopa County to audit, and I think they might be inclined to do that. But I'm with you that there is enough stuff going on in other states that how can we seat our electors knowing that there's been fraud or widespread abuse and anomalies that are unanswered and will go unanswered. And you can't go just because the media wants you to go. You have to go because the constitutional prescriptions that are there and what the need for trust in our elections that we're not getting.
Well, and 70 million people are not going to treat Joe Biden as a duly elected president.
No, that's right.
I have never seen this kind of outrage from grassroots normal people that are saying this was stolen from us, pure and simple. And people in Arizona think it was stolen from them. And so maybe you guys can comment on this. This race in Arizona, we always thought was going to be closer than I even think that some people in the Trump campaign thought. I think that they thought they had this done 5 days before the election. I would have loved to see one last rally from President Trump in this state, especially in the Valley. Let's talk about Arizona a little bit more. Then I want to go broad again. Where is this state headed? You just legalized marijuana. You raised Prop 208. You have two Democrat senators. If things continue, you're going to vote for Joe Biden. I thought Arizona was a R plus 12 state. Can you help unpack this for some people that are watching? What is going on here?
Yeah. So it's looking in, it's inexplicable. But I think Paul would agree with me. Certainly, if you live in the Phoenix metro area, Maricopa County has been a red county for as long as I can remember. And I've lived here all my life.
Yeah.
We have so many people that have moved here. So you've changed the demographic. They've moved here from California. They come here for low taxes, fewer regulations. They come here for the great lifestyle, better roads and freeways. They come here. They love it.
And then they vote to
Turn us into California. And that's really what we're up against. And I would just say, you hit on something, Charlie, that I think is so important. This is an open constitutional carry state.
Yeah.
And guess what? We are electing a senator who leads the biggest anti-Second Amendment group in the country.
Mark Kelly or Sinema?
Marks Kelly.
Yeah. Well, they're indecipherable in my view. But Congressman Gosar, here's what I can't understand. How can a state that has open carry also have a mask mandate? That one doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, but once again, that's executive order aspects, and we've got some issues with that.
From the governor's mansion.
That's exactly right. You know, the overstep of the executive branch.
Yeah. So.
And I've been one of those people that has three letters in there in regards to opening up the economy, and then another one on hydroxychloroquine. So.
Which very could have solved a lot of things. And look what Ron DeSantis did in Florida.
Yeah.
And contrasted with other states. So I think it's fair to say that the Democrats have outmaneuvered and outorganized the state in the last couple of years. There's two Democrat senators. The land of Barry Goldwater has two Democrat senators. Do you think part of this also has to do with some of the kind of weak Republicans that preexisted you guys in the kind of this state? There's a – I'll say it. You don't have to say anything. Jeff Flake, John McCain, all those guys have been a complete disaster for this state. You guys could just smile and say nothing. That's fine. But I think it has really done a disservice for what people think of Republicans in this state, because they – really, we need leaders like both of you that don't tank the Chamber of Commerce money, that stand up against corporate interests and really stand for workers and stand for the rule of law. Can you help build out kind of just what do Republicans need to do to win back the state?
So I think if we're going to win back the state, we need a couple of things. Number one, we need to be better organized, and we need to start organizing today for 2 years from now. We need to also make sure that the Independent Redistricting Commission, as they reorganize our districts, we need them to put together solid, good districts. And then I'm going to just comment on this, because this is really important to understand. We've got to make sure that the moneyed interests, the people that donate money, that they really put money behind are the Republicans in the state, because there's not a Republican race in this state that didn't get outspent. And they got outspent by Steyer and Soros. And Bloomberg, they just put in so much money. So one of the races we were talking about, they spent over $1 million in a legislative race that would normally be about a $100,000 race. And amazing. And that's just the way it went in this state.
Are you guys hungry? I bet you are. Good Ranchers is the place to get your next meal. Good Ranchers has the top quality meat from across the country. It's really incredible. We had a whole box of Good Ranchers beef and meat come to our office, and people have been cooking, they have been eating, and they really like it. It's very, very good. Americans on average throw away 40% of all meat purchased from grocery stores due to spoilage. With Good Ranchers' cutting-edge technology, you can kiss spoilage goodbye. Each item is individually wrapped and flash frozen to lock in that juicy American goodness. For the price of a family going out to dinner, you can fill your freezer with quality meats with GoodRanchers.com. Don't waste your money on cheap cuts and overseas beef. Buying from the other guys, get the American beef cuts your family deserves with Good Ranchers. Buy today at GoodRanchers.com. That's GoodRanchers.com. GoodRanchers.com. Use the promo code Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, to save $20 off your purchase. That's GoodRanchers.com right now to use the promo code Charlie. Save $20 off for a limited time only. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Charlie. But Congressman Gosar, here's what doesn't make sense, and Congressman Biggs touched on it. We still held the line on a lot of these state ledge races, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How is it that – are there really Republican state legislative voters and Biden voters and Kelly voters? Or was it just that there was such an extra effort there? There's something not right here.
Well, and that Andy kind of hit on it, the down ballot. I mean, so Trump carries a number of these state legislators across the line but doesn't get the vote. It doesn't make sense. Particularly when you see nationwide, you see the Biden group being very, very different, you know, from up ballot to down ballot.
Yes.
So from the standpoint here, there's big difference. The other thing we got to do, Charlie, with our Republicans is Andy and myself have shown that, you know, being conservative, you can win. You can take hard stances, you know, but have a backbone. Show that you have a principled application and a principled outlying agenda. People may not agree with you all the time, but they like the fact that you don't ride the fence.
Right.
And they'll much prefer that over some sort of wavering, back and forth, wishy-washy Republican that has plagued the state for so long. So talking more broadly and generally, the House of Representatives, you are both going to be entering in a minority that is more powerful than a lot of people would have anticipated. Mm-hmm. I think this is one of the best arguments as to why President Donald Trump, I think, had this election stolen from him. We have it right there. Republicans won 28 out of 29 competitive House seats, flipped three state legislatures, and did not lose a single House, a single incumbent House seat. How is that possible? And, you know, what are the potential remedies for this? Because it seems as if this is a hyper-targeted campaign in just certain cities across the country. Andy.
Well, you're talking about fraud, pure and simple. And so we're talking about Pennsylvania's an utter disaster. And what really your immediate remedy is to basically nullify Pennsylvania's election. I mean, that sounds drastic, but I mean, it is so bad there. And the reports that are coming out there are just so drastic. Well, so Pennsylvania would have to decide, are we going to revote? And I don't think there's time to revote. And if you can't revote, then you can't seat their electors. And if you can't seat their electors, you can't seat anybody's. And then you're going to move to the Congress. That is a potential scenario that I don't think anybody really wants. But how else do you resolve that horrible situation?
Yeah, there's not many remedies left. And I could tell you that, you know, Congressman Gosar, both of you are conservative Congress people, and I really respect both of you guys because you take on the tough fights. You're the head of the House Freedom Caucus, right?
Right.
Are you a member of the Freedom Caucus?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Because I know Louie Gohmert isn't, right?
No, Louie is.
He is a member.
He was. I don't know if he was previously. I once introduced him as the head of part of the House Freedom Caucus. He said, I'm not part of the House Freedom Caucus. Anyway, that was years ago.
Yeah, he's in now.
Yeah. That's good.
He's been in for 4 years.
We need all the people that we can get in the House Freedom Caucus, which I think is a phenomenal thing. But here's the danger, Congressman Gosar. When people feel so disenfranchised because they rose up, they gave money, they voted, and we have all the numbers here. We can go through it, and our listeners have grown accustomed to it. 14,000 dead people that we have found on the rolls in Michigan. Here's right here just of all the dead people we have found that have voted in Michigan. So how are people supposed to actually trust the entire system that we elect and seat our leaders, if you have dead people voting, you have 95% turnout in Philadelphia? You're trying to tell me I'm supposed to believe that Joe Biden did better with the black community than Barack Obama? Can you just talk more broadly about kind of how important it is that we get to the bottom of exactly what we're looking at here?
Well, Charlie, it starts with all the catastrophes and the illegalities that are back in Washington, D.C. Look at my 10 years in Congress. Fast and furious, Benghazi, IRS, the unmasking, you know, the attacks on the press with James Rosen, James Risen, and Cheryl Atkinson. Then you see the emails for Hillary Clinton. Then you see Russiagate, Ukrainegate, Obamagate, now Bidengate. And who's paid the penalty? Mm. It starts with justice, is serving it up, making sure people pay accountability. When you talk about the roles, Judicial Watch won a court case in California to remove 1.5 million people from their roles. Did it get done? Nope, because you had no enforcement.
Wow. So you're trying to tell me Tom Fitton and Judicial Watch, they won the case,
yep,
and they just disobeyed the order.
Yep.
Because they knew that no one would actually enforce it.
There you go.
So this brings up another point, and both of you have been on top of this crossfire hurricane, this entire Spygate deal. I'm of the opinion that none of this nonsense in Atlanta, Philadelphia, Detroit, and Milwaukee would have happened at the extent it did if we would have held people accountable for what they did against the president. If problems that are not confronted multiply. And if Joe Biden becomes president, the only thing we have left is a couple seats majority in the Senate, a very small, much smaller majority in the House of Representatives. But here's the dangerous sequence of events. When normal people think that if you think something incorrectly, you're going to be held to a different standard, you actually don't have a country. You have a tale of two Americas. And if you think the wrong thing, then you could find yourself in prison or disenfranchised at the voting booth, where you have Andy McCabe today give one of the worst testimonies I've ever seen. James Comey, you have Peter Strzok, Lisa Page. They all get away with this. So because you're in the minority, this has kind of prevented your capacity to look into this. But, you know, Congressman, can you talk about how how not holding these people accountable from the Justice Department has resulted in just this widespread criminality?
Yeah, so I'm going to give you a brief analogy. When the mayor of Minneapolis said, we're going to let the rioters torch a precinct house, Before that, you didn't have the widespread unrest. That catalyzed the civil unrest that you ended up going to Portland, and it went crazy. And they ultimately they attacked the mayor of Portland and where he lived, burned that down, the whole thing. When you don't hold people accountable by making arrests, filing charges, prosecuting, obtaining convictions, and sentencing them appropriately,
yes,
you do not have a system of justice anymore. It's basically anarchy. And anarchy will always provide a vacuum filler. And the vacuum filler here right now is injustice. And that's to say, if you are the establishment in Washington, D.C., meaning the left-wing establishment, those people who are careerists in FBI and DOJ, they're not going to come after you because they are sympathetic with you. They agree with you. And they say, there but for the grace of God go I, we're going to give you a break. But if it's Charlie Kirk, Paul Gosar, or Andy Biggs, we're going to go after those guys because we don't have tolerance for them. It becomes a totally inconsistent, it's a ruse to even say you have laws and justice because you don't. It's a system of anarchy and chaos.
So both of you are now, you're both members of the House Freedom Caucus, and you actually have more power because of President Trump. We won back so many of these races. I don't know. Did you flip any? Is Yvette Terrell going to be a member of the House Freedom Caucus?
Yes.
Can you talk about that?
Well, I mean, this is a great pickup in the regards that here you saw the attack by Vice President Biden on fossil fuels, which are huge in Yvette's district. You know, you can have all the green energy you want, but it doesn't provide baseload fuels. And baseload fuels is when the sun doesn't shine, the wind doesn't blow, you can turn your television on.
Yes.
You know, so you got to have that natural gas. You got to have that oil as a backup. And we're the whole aspect of being self-reliant and now an exporter of energy makes us a force, a political force, a geopolitical force in the world today.
So Yvette is going to be a member of the Freedom Caucus. So you expanded your ranks. Did we lose any House Freedom Caucus seats?
We lost no Freedom Caucus seats. Actually, we picked up nine seats.
You picked up nine House Freedom Caucus.
We did. So I'm sorry, maybe ten. Yeah, maybe 10.
Can you go through the list?
I can't because we don't make a public list and we never reveal our number.
Oh, is that right? Okay, I didn't know that. I'm learning.
The reason why Charlie
it's kind of like Fight Club.
Yeah, so. Exactly. It gives us some leverage and it's. Let me just tell you, we're going to be stronger than ever this coming Congress, and we would really love to be stronger than ever. Supporting this president.
Yeah. And so, yeah, and let's talk about that. Either one of you, do you see a path, and I do, for the president to right this wrong and this injustice against him?
Oh, I do. I see a pathway to winning this election. And I think that the Democrats are starting to figure that out. You know, they could have done all the flagging that they said, you know, we call this race this and that and this and that. But you look at Georgia. You know, once again, I look at the things we can win very quickly. Mm-hmm. Georgia is in a recount. They now understand that their whole state was under the Dominion software. Unbelievable. I mean, my understanding is North Carolina just got called for the president. Mm-hmm. Now you got Michigan, okay, or Wisconsin first. In Wisconsin, you had another one of those glitches of 19,500. The president was up, what, 12,000?
Yeah.
I mean, you got a big change around in Wisconsin now. You got Michigan. You got right and left. Once again, commonality, Dominion software. Let's look at Las Vegas. The only county with Dominion software is Las Vegas and Clark County.
Wow.
Imagine that. And the same thing, the only Dominion software in Arizona
is Maricopa.
Imagine
making
that.
These decisions to bring Dominion in.
The county.
Your county elections office.
Yeah. Adrian Fontes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because and that's Texas said no Dominion.
Well, they not only once, three times they said. They decertified them three times.
Wow.
And then it's interesting that North Carolina, they put an RFP or a bid for North Carolina's machines. And when they asked about disclosure of who was invested in the company and if there was any outside forces, they withdrew their RFP. I wonder who owns this. And Charlie, go back to the Senate subcommittee on judiciary when they went over this with the software. They said they were 100% fraudulent, 100% corruptible in regards to their outlay.
And by the way, it's possible that the Department of Justice could come in very soon and say, we do not have faith in these elections. And the U.S. Supreme Court could rule on that.
It could, but also I got to give you the same aspect that it might not. It could also cause a contamination, saying, listen, we didn't find anything, and therefore not getting the Supreme Court. That's an outside chance, but the Supreme Court may not rule.
And so, Congressman Biggs, the American people are going to be outraged if President Trump has this stolen from him in the current, you know, the current sequence of events. I hate to do this, but let's say Joe Biden becomes president-elect. What's the agenda for the House Freedom Caucus? Because I'm sorry to interrupt, but Kevin McCarthy has come out and said he does not think that Nancy Pelosi has the votes for speaker. That's not to say that the Republicans don't take the majority, but I don't think that she has the party, the support within her own party.
Yeah. So be careful what you wish for. The nice thing about having Nancy Pelosi there is it splits that conference in ways that we don't normally, you can't see, but they are really split. They're roiling right now. So that's a good thing, regardless of who ends up their speaker. But you don't want somebody who's really competent to be their speaker, and Nancy Pelosi has proven not to be very competent. The second thing I think is we have got to make sure that we are defending and pushing forward a conservative agenda wherever we possibly can. On our committees, make sure that the Freedom Caucus gets on the right committees. Make sure we're pushing back on these people in a way that's meaningful. We can't sit there and acquiesce and be afraid. And that's where the Freedom Caucus has actually excelled. And we've led a number of initiatives against the Democrats this time. I mean, that's where we're going.
Well, I got to get Madison Cawthorn to be a Freedom Caucus member.
Okay,
because he's Mark Meadows' seat.
Yeah, I got to talk to Madison.
I don't know if it's your secret, if the secret list, if he's on it or not. Madison's a friend of mine. I helped him out, and I want to see him be in Freedom Caucus.
All right.
And so I know you guys have to dash shortly, and we're going to keep the live stream going. But Congressman Gosar, what are your marching orders to the amazing MAGA patriots out there that feel a little bit let down, that just feel like they're losing a little bit of hope?
Well, don't lose the hope. You got a number of us that are still fighting for you, and there's no stopping you for the fight. Demand more. Demand. Hold our feet to the fire. We should be on the offense when we're as a minority. And think about it. There's issues that we can make changes for, but we have to be vocal enough to say it. For example, you talked about the voting machines. Instantly, somebody that comes to mind is a guy by the name of Jamie Raskin. He knows all about him. Jamie Raskin actually was so hated about this aspect that he actually introduced legislation to change and manipulate those. Those are things that we can start to work on. I sit on natural resources. That's a winning message. You know, I was chairman of the Western Caucus for the last 4 years. We've turned it aggressively to show people, listen, you can be conservative and still win.
Yes.
And still get a bunch of stuff done. So, listen, when there's greatest disarray is the greatest opportunity for change. Here's your chaos. Now take our marching orders. We got to win Arizona first. Take care of Arizona. Like Sun Tzu said, take care of home first. Then go beyond that.
Well, we've been talking about a lot of art of war. And Mark Kelly's up in 2022.
That's correct. Right? Yes, he is.
So there's a Senate race that can be flipped right here in this state.
Yeah. Yep.
And the governor's mansion.
Yeah. Both of those are critical. We've got to be preparing today. Not only that, with the redistricting, we're going to get a new seat, maybe two new seats. We've got to be prepared and ready to take those in Arizona so that we can get back to being a red state from top to bottom.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to be.
Teaching.
So Congressman Andy Biggs, Congressman Gosar, how can people follow you both on social media or support what you're doing?
I know I'm on everything. I just don't know what they are.
Well, that's okay. People can type in Congressman Andy Biggs.
Just go to biggs.house.gov.
I love your Twitter account, Congressman.
Yeah, we have fun. We definitely have fun.
Might you do pick a great job.
But that way I know that I'm number one on AOC's list to go to the gulag.
Yeah, that's fun. I have the top bunk in the gulag. So, well, we're going to keep this going live. Thank you guys
Thanks,
so much
Charlie.
For joining
Appreciate
us.
Sure.
You got to keep on fighting.
Pleasure. You keep
bet.
The fight.
Thank you. Yeah.
Keep
fighting.
You bet. Has this election gotten you stressed out, worn down? If so, it's time to bounce back. What's the number one mineral to fight stress and fatigue? Magnesium. I take magnesium every single night. Long days, lots of radio, lots of podcasting, and I take Magnesium Breakthrough from our friends of the show, Buy Optimizers. I don't put my name behind a lot of these supplements, but I can tell you this magnesium supplement I recommend because it combines all 7 essential forms of magnesium into one convenient daily dosage. Most magnesium supplements fail because they are not full spectrum. When you get all 7 critical forms of magnesium, so many functions in your body can get upgraded. The supplements are designed to enhance
focus, sleep, reduce inflammation, and improve your body's reaction to stress. Check out Magnesium Breakthrough with me. Take two pills a day with your evening meal, and you can reverse magnesium deficiency in all forms. Use a promo code KIRK10 for 10% off any order. Go to buyoptimizers.com/KIRK, buyoptimizers.com/KIRK, then promo code KIRK10 to apply the discount. I want to thank those of you that are supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. And there is some very, very important news that has been coming through right now. Incredibly important news in regards to investigations, irregularities, and what possibly could be happening. And so we are going to be joined here by Benny Johnson. I want to thank some of our supporters here. Darla from Alabama, thank you for your support. Debbie from Phoenix, thank you so much for your support. Connor, are you coming on the show?
Oh, no. I'm coming to fix something real quick.
He's coming to fix the
mic. How
we
doing, everybody?
There we go.
Here you go. Talking to this one real quick.
Oh, I'm talking to the other mic now. Yeah. We've been working these mics so hard that we've been running them down. And so I want to thank also, I want to thank Sarah from California. I want to thank Brian from California. I want to thank Joshua from Washington. And I want to thank Leona from Nevada, charliekirk.com/support. We are going live here. And look, isn't it amazing how President Donald Trump conveniently wins Nevada weeks after the election? Isn't it incredible how President Trump is able to be declared the winner when it does not matter anymore? What has actually changed structurally in North Carolina in the last couple of days? Nothing. It's just now all of a sudden they feel comfortable declaring North Carolina for President Trump because it doesn't matter as much. That's exactly why. And so we've been through some of the sound here. We're going to do it again earlier. There's something happening at the Pentagon, everybody, and it's breaking, and I want to dive into it. And I also want to talk about Mike Pompeo's comments where he said today that there will be a second Trump term. That is paired with Mitch McConnell. That is paired with Senator Blunt, that is paired with many other establishment Democrats, Republicans that have come and they have said that President Donald Trump is far from this race actually being over. And so we're getting a lot of your questions about all this. Freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. We're going to do a little bit of a set switch here. Do we have Benny to bring in here? Yeah, Benny, come on in.
Benny on in.
We're going to bring Benny Johnson on in here.
Terrell, how's this mic sound? How we doing?
Benny, yes. Welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Hello.
Colton, you want to come in?
I'm going to switch this back over to you.
There we go. So everybody, please welcome the great Benny Johnson here to the Charlie Kirk Show. We just had Congressman Biggs. Congressman Biggs and Congressman Gosar were here. Thank them for their service. And we don't do Chick-fil-A here, Benny.
What?
They betrayed all of us. It's not good. We don't do that. We do have the whiteboard back. We are back in action, everybody.
Delicious.
Benny, how's your day?
I come bearing exciting news.
You come bearing exciting news.
Exciting breaking news. All right.
You struggling a little bit?
Yeah.
Congratulations on bringing a child into the world.
Oh, well, thank you. Someone is being taken out of this world, potentially. Nancy Pelosi. As of a couple minutes ago, with multiple wins for conservatives in California, districts of all places, Nancy Pelosi officially does not have the votes to become Speaker of the House.
That's according to Kevin McCarthy.
So you need 218 votes to become House Speaker from the House floor. You have to have those votes. It can be from any party, but you have to have that many votes to ascend to Speaker of the House. Right now, Nancy Pelosi has 215. Now, in her last election, she had 15 Democrats default, did not vote.
But then
for
all of a sudden, they started kind of threatening some people. And remember, AOC
That's
was
right.
like, I will never support
That's
her.
Right.
And then all of a sudden.
But you still have 15 defections. And so, ostensibly, right now, with 201, actually 203 members of Congress, Kevin McCarthy may be in a more commanding lead of the floor than Nancy Pelosi.
Well, it all depends if they can find a consensus speaker.
Right.
And so it all depends on how many more seats are the Republicans going to win?
You could be looking at
Sean Parnell should have won. Let me just put it that way.
Well, yeah. And Alex Garlatos and a lot of people I could name, but I'll
just
tell
give you an idea
that,
right now. They just called Michelle Steele, but Claudia Tenney and Nicole are going to win. And our girl in Iowa just took the lead by 40 votes.
Woo!
Marionette Miller Meeks just took the lead by 40 votes.
The doctor!
And then
the doctor!
David Valdonado leads. He's going to win, I think, against TJ Cox. And then Mike Garcia is literally down like 500 votes.
It is wild in a year where Republicans were slated to lose 15 to 20 that we are not only keeping the Senate, but now Kevin McCarthy is in control of the floor of the House. If Nancy Pelosi has anywhere near the number of defections, if she has 10 defections, she's not Speaker. Mm-hmm. And then it goes to Hakeem Jeffries, who is essentially a socialist out of New York, who is the last possible person you want in charge right now as a Justice Democrat. Coming into 2022, a red wave year. I'm predicting it right now. A red wave year.
Done. The question is just how many seats.
It's not looking pretty.
I have never seen the base this fired up, ever.
Nancy Pelosi refused Charlie Kirk to denounce socialism today.
Oh no, we don't do that.
So she was asked straight up. She was asked straight up, "Do you denounce socialism?" Because you're going to be in a fight with the Justice Democrats in your party. Which
yes,
it's not. They're not Justice anything. They're communists.
That's right.
And Nancy said, and that's an exact quote. And so she's in a terrible spot. Anyone who tells you that this is a win, by the way, I'm Benny Johnson, Chief Creative Officer, Turning Point USA. I am just kicking off my YouTube channel. I'm going to do a shameless plug. Please follow me, Benny Johnson, on YouTube.
That took 3 minutes and 10 seconds.
Nancy Pelosi and the professional charlatan sycophant liars in your media wanted you to be depressed. They lied to you. They lied to you for weeks and months and years that this was going to be a terrible election for Republicans. Charlie, have you seen a more overperforming Republican Party than in the 2020 election?
In everywhere but four cities.
Mm.
So, Benny, how is it that we overperform? We have 16 new pro-life women that have been elected to Congress.
Fascinating.
We win all across the country. We win state legislative races. We don't lose one incumbent. Trump does 5 points better in Chicago. Trump did a point better in D.C., Benny. Your vote was heard.
One vote.
You did vote, right?
They all clapped for me. Yeah, of course.
Because there's this whole thing in like D.C. Republicanism where they don't vote.
No. I walked in there and I said, for Kavanaugh. Bam! And I just punched that button for Donald Trump.
Did you get extra votes because you did it so enthusiastically?
I punched right through the machine. And so, I looked at the hole when I pulled my finger out, and you could see the Chinese Communist Party looking back at me through the Dominion voter system. Mm-hmm.
So people are wondering what our problem is with Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A funded the Southern Poverty Law Center, okay? So Chick-fil-A funds the – so your little drink there funds a hate group, right. Anti-Christian group linked to shooter that stormed the Family Research Council. And they also their CEO said very good things about BLM Incorporated. So I'm done with Chick-fil-A.
This was ordered for me.
You were drinking it on set, so we had to make sure we made the
Do you have something wrong with fries?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Purified drinking water. We have a lot to go over tonight. Benny, I have some homework for you. Okay. You have to memorize every dead voter in Michigan.
Okay. good.
By the end of the episode, you have to be able to recite every dead person that has voted in Michigan. Every guest I have on, I give them that list. Isabel just decided to randomly highlight 4 or 5 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Either Isabel or Colton will be joining us tonight. We're going to be going through the entire Wisconsin. There's some amazing research that was done here on what's been going on in Wisconsin.
Yvonne Roundtree.
When was he born or she?
1914.
That's 106. 106 years old.
1914. We were fighting World War I.
Woodrow Wilson was president.
Oh my God! They're so shameless.
Of course they are.
It's so shameless.
But this is what happens, Benny. And this is a very interesting point. You and I go to college campuses quite often.
Yeah.
And what does the left not want to do? They don't want to speak. Right. They don't want to speak with us.
Yes.
they hate free speech. It's this is a deeper philosophical point.
Okay.
They don't like discussion, dialogue, or different ideas.
Yes.
So instead of actually trying to convince people to vote for them,
yes,
they go resurrect dead people to go vote for them, meaning they care much more about how do I dominate the mechanical side of voting, not actually the persuadable side. They don't, their ideas are so awful. There's no way you can win elections in the heartland of America with these ideas. You can rig them.
Nothing that's such a great point, first off, and such a valid point. Can something this grotesque continue? How does this continue? There's this – I can see now there's this sense that, my goodness, we didn't realize how evil or corrupt they were. Even after Kavanaugh, Nick Sandman, BLM, after all the impeachment, after the fake Russia hoax, not even – the people who know the left the best, and I'm sitting here with the man who knows the left the best and how to slice their arguments and how to cut them to the core.
I've actually read their literature.
Were you shocked at the level of corruption?
So I'm gonna confide something in you in front of 50,000 people.
Okay.
So I was there on election night at the White House. And we've been doing live streams ever since. And they called Arizona and I was upset. I was so mad.
Hmm.
But there was a 20-minute moment. And I was on the bottom level of the White House on the west side, not on the east side. And I thought to myself, we're going to win.
Hmm.
And I forgot all the training in the left that I had all the years before that. I actually believed that we were going to win. That night, that is. And some people say we've already won. Okay, I got that. But for a 20-minute moment, I let my guard down and my defenses down. I dismissed all the concerns about mail-in voting. Because you know what I did, Benny? I called my expert in Wisconsin, the Walker family, right? And I asked them, I said, is this math I'm seeing correctly? Kenosha County, we're doing this, we're that. I said, there's not statistically enough ballots to make up the deficit in Wisconsin. And they agreed with me. They said, look, we're worried about Milwaukee County, but basically we like where we are. Like, it looks good. I said, I feel great about it. I called my guys in Michigan. They said, John James, next U.S. Senator. Done. They said, there's no way they have that many ballots. Called my guys in Georgia. They're like, champagne is open. We got Georgia. Ballots can't exist. Called my guys in Pennsylvania. They say, we've never seen numbers this good out of Allegheny County and all this. I said, what about mail-in? They said, there's not enough ballots to happen here. Here was the big fraud. Atlanta, Philadelphia, Detroit, Milwaukee all stopped counting that night. And they published false numbers of how many ballots they had. In fact, they didn't publish any numbers at all. You see, what happened is that these cities allowed all of the ballots to be counted earlier, and they released some of the data, and all of our models were operating off of an incomplete data set. And so I was still looking rationally and logically, but I was not looking correctly out of everything I knew out of the left. Of course they're not going to tell us how many ballots are left. Of course. Like, we're supposed to believe that they're going to give us publicly available information honestly. And I was deceived in that 20-minute moment. So then I collapsed at like 4 a.m. and I woke up and I said, oh my gosh, that drop out of Milwaukee County is terrible. We've been hawking all the counties like crazy. And I thought to myself, oh, come on, there's no way. There's no way that this is happening. And then I did that radio show the next morning and we did that live stream the next night. And then we called Georgia that night. We said, there's no more ballots remaining. Oh, I said, unless, because we all actually go work for Stacey Abrams. Do we have our Stacey Abrams graphic? Stacey Abrams? And Stacey Abrams, I said, unless Stacey Abrams comes with another 65,000 ballots. And then what happened? The next morning, they announced that there were 58,000 ballots left in Georgia. I said, that's it. They're going to do whatever it takes to manufacture themselves to victory.
The Democrat Party doesn't print ballots. Am I wrong?
The Democrat Party does not print ballots. That is correct.
Okay, because this would make a ton of sense if the initiation of these ballots started at the DNC. inside of the DNC. If you guys ever go to Washington, D.C., and you want to see the state, the actual real state of the Democratic Party, go visit the DNC headquarters. Go see what a dilapidated, sickening, moldy, crumbling, disgusting facade building.
But the DNC doesn't have the power.
So, but this isn't a ballot printing operation. So who printed the ballots? Where did the ballots come from? How is it possible to conjure up, assuming these ballots weren't printed right in a basement? So assuming these ballots are real ballots that come from the federal government, so how is it possible to conjure up these numbers?
They don't conjure them up. Here's the problem is that we never got a number of how many ballots were sent out because they sent out ballots to all voters on the voter roll. So whether they're living or dead or whenever they last voted, everyone got a ballot. And as I mentioned yesterday, this was the Ozark election. This was the Marty Byrd election, where this was ballot laundering, where there was a concerted campaign and effort to go intercept ballots from all across the planet. This is called by the New York Times granny farming. We have it right here. Error and fraud at issue as absentee voting rises. So no, the campaigns didn't print the ballots. What the campaigns did was this, is that through their states, they fear-mongered the virus way worse than they knew it was. They said it's not safe to vote in person. And they got authorized through every single one of these states using emergency funding in these Democrat governors or Democrat states legislatures. They sent out ballots to every single person on the planet. How this was not stopped by Republican legislatures, I don't understand.
Yes.
How Brian Kemp did not stop this in Georgia and say, we're not doing this. Like, I'll shut down the Georgia government. You got to go vote in person. Absentee, you got to request a ballot like you do in Florida. We're done.
Yeah.
Or Pennsylvania, they have a Democrat governor, but they have a Republican legislature, thanks to Trump. That Republican legislature in 16 has held till 18, it's held till today. And so what happened here is massive amounts of ballots out there. And ballot launderers, no different than money launderers or drug traffickers or child sex traffickers or gun runners, there's criminals all over the planet. There's criminals in every division of our society. And criminals then went and scooped up these ballots, and they were probably well incentivized to do so.
Didn't James O'Keefe have a video out of ballot harvesting in Ilhan Omar's district with guys driving around with just stacks and stacks and of ballots?
No, we have video evidence of this.
And you're getting cash for those. You're getting cash for those ballots.
So we have a Google stream, and I think Benny, they're asking something out of you in the control room here. But we have a Google search results asking, how many people have been asking, how can I sell my ballot? And there is a huge surge in people asking on Google, how do I sell my ballot? I mean, it's incredible. And so there's an entire cottage industry out there of voter fraud. Do you know why we mostly don't find it? We don't look into it. Do you know how thin the criminal divisions are looking into this stuff? Do you know who is running this for the Department of Justice? The guy that used to work with Lois Lerner to go investigate conservative groups under Obama. That's who just resigned yesterday.
That's right.
So people say voter fraud doesn't exist. We have a 182-page packet right there. Benny, you have to memorize all this by the end of the live stream, okay? That's
easy.
Your homework. 182 pages of voter fraud in just the last couple of years. 182 pages of voter fraud.
And this is before
this election.
Unlimited mail-in ballots.
That's before unlimited.
So an old colleague of mine, a respected journalist at the Daily Caller, he has a group house, a big house, right?
So nine-room house. A lot of people registered.
A lot of people out. Okay? It's D.C. It's a transient city. People come. People go. And room rentals and big houses. This is just a normal thing.
They probably had 50 ballots sent to that house.
Yes.
Yeah.
He has a stack of ballots that would reach up to your chin. And Charlie, if you've ever met him, it's a rather tall person.
Benny, you should do a video with him. I'm not kidding. That's actually a really powerful video.
And he has so many mail-in ballots. And it's none of the people live at the house any longer.
And people say
none of them.
People say that there's no evidence. It's not true. I mean, we have a whole stack of evidence right here. But again, you don't find money laundering unless you look into it. Look right here. Let's look on the screen. Benny, look at this. Which one is yellow? How to sell a ballot? You see those yellow spikes? How to sell a ballot? Those are the Google search trends in just the month of October. You know what blue is?
election fraud punishment. So then a couple days later, they start to ask, am I going to get in trouble in this?
Right.
For this? And then yellow again.
And which states are these happening in?
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. We actually have the data. We have the data for that. Those are the states.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Texas, and Arizona.
I know some of those states.
Why are the activist news?
I recognize their shapes.
Why are the cable news networks not covering this, Benny?
Because they're incentivized to have a Joe Biden win.
Why? Why are the cable channels that we've trusted so much of our time and energy behind not covering this?
Well, as someone who's a host on Newsmax, one of the few cable networks that refuses to call the election for either candidate until we get all the data, I believe it has everything to do with the ethos of Trump. The anti-establishment nature of Trump has finally reached a breaking point where if you are a part of what is considered a power establishment in this country, now that is corporatist America,
mm-hmm.
then you are incentivized to get as quickly back into the seat of the presidency a man you can control.
Yes.
That is what is most important.
Who will do what is told.
That is what is most important to these people. A controllable man or woman. And the person who you can control is your guy. That's Joe Biden. He was the shill for the credit card companies for years and years and years. He is clearly has clearly has layers and layers of compromising family issues and crippling backstories and back channels. And he is just – it's like out of a book, just doddering, old, senile, controllable. And that is precisely what the powerful in this country want in a position like that. They do not want a Donald Trump who had every ability to sell out and never did,
mm-hmm.
who had every capacity to sell out and refused to his entire career. And has been a cherished outsider, and that's why people love him.
In our fast-paced world, it's tough to make reading a priority. At least it used to be. A new app called Thinker has solved that problem by summarizing the key ideas from new and noteworthy nonfiction, giving you access to an entire library of great books in bite-sized form. Read or listen to hundreds of titles in a matter of minutes, including old classics like Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People to recent bestsellers like Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life. If you want to challenge your preconceptions, expand your horizons, and become a better thinker, go to thinker.org/Charlie. That's thinker.org/Charlie to start an extended free trial and put your mind in motion. thinker.org/Charlie. You can email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, and support us at charliekirk.com/support. We have a expert that is going to debunk everything that's happening in Wisconsin coming on this evening. I want to say thank you to Tiffany for supporting us from Florida, Kalilia for supporting us from Georgia. I probably completely butchered that name. I'm sorry. Also, Justin from Hawaii, thank you so much for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. We have some very smart people that watch this live stream.
Hawaii, get Tulsi to run against Mazie Hirono.
We have a lot of supporters from Hawaii. So let me tell you, we have a lot of smart people that watch our program here. And one that actually emailed us something very interesting. I want to make sure I get this correct. And it's a Benford analysis. It's a guy by the name of Samuel. Sam Gong, and he sent, I don't want to totally dox these people by thanking them because that would be not good. Basically, this again, we have these geniuses that watch us. Do we have these charts that he sent us, Connor? I sent it to you. I'll resend it to you here. Basically, it's very important. Samuel said, and he did the work here, of exactly first and foremost, what is Benford's Law, right? So Benford's Law, and this is his... this is his work. Samuel emailed this to us. I'm going to send him a signed book. It's phenomenal. He said, Benford's Law requires that the original population follows Benford's Law, which is the U.S. population does. Benford's Law requires that the sample be large enough, sample size and order of magnitude, which the 2020 election absolutely does follow. High chance of manipulation of Republican votes does not mean Democrats manipulated their votes and vice versa. It purely means that manipulation of that category of votes could have been manipulated from anywhere. It might not even be specifically Democrats or Republicans manipulating the votes. So what he did is he did a Benford analysis of the last couple elections,
And so he didn't just do a Benford analysis of this election. He did a Benford analysis of the 2012, 2016, and 2020 race. And so this is, again, you could run the test yourself. We're going to put this up on the Charlie Kirk Show. Can we get this up, Connor? It's pretty incredible, this chart that he did. And look, it's the law of large numbers, okay? That's what Benford's law does. And you have to, when you use large numbers, it shows that eventually you'll have a downward slope in the numbers that you're using, okay? It will follow that pattern. And if not, it usually means that you're inputting numbers or inputting data that manipulates that flow. So for example, in 2016, the numbers correlate fine. It went through Benford's law. 2012, same thing. 2020, this is, again, same states do not exhibit unusual behavior in 2012 and 2016 and convincingly passed both the Benford law using the chi-squared testing. The 2020 exhibits such a low p-value that it's almost guaranteed manipulation. Guaranteed. And by the way, this is why you're seeing Brett Weinstein and other people that are on the left start to call for recounts, because they're starting to see that there's a massive irregularity here.
Yeah, it's a massive irregularity. And it's the question I think that many people have going forward. Recent polling showed that there's up to 70% of self-identified conservatives believe that there was either this election has been tampered with. It is irredeemable now, that this was not a fair and free election.
No, it wasn't.
So when you have 70% of the conservative base, when you have tens of millions of Americans believing that this was a banana republic election, then the question on the table is twofold. One, what do you do about it now? Because we have constitutional demands on the office of the presidency that are coming up in a matter of seconds. I mean, a matter of moments, right? And then secondly, how do you prevent it in the future? I think perhaps the second question is the most important. Charlie, what do you do about it now? And most importantly, how do you prevent this from happening in the future? Because if there's one thing that I know about the left is that if they can get away with it once, they'll do it forever.
Well, first of all, we need to make sure that Joe Biden does not become president of the United States. We need to get the Department of Justice and the Supreme Court to order a revote, which, by the way, is not out of the realm of possibility. What does that say?
North Carolina revote is a win for democracy.
Who? The publication.
The Nation,
which
far
is
left.
Far left wing. Yep. They've called for revotes before because of why? Because of voter fraud.
Yes. From the Republicans.
Yes.
From the Republicans. I'm remembering
this.
We
need a revote in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona, Georgia. Nothing less. If we do not get this, if we do not have faith in this entire system, then Joe Biden will not be treated as a legitimate president. And then they're going to finally taste what they've been serving us for the last 4 years. And we're not going to riot. We're not going to do all those sorts of things. But I can tell you this. That when you don't want an investigation into something, I wonder, what are you hiding? That's number one. Number two is this, is that it's long past time that Republicans start to realize that elections are not won on persuasion. They're not. Elections are won on mechanics. See, the Democrats were laughing at the idea of Joe Biden saying that you'll phase out fossil fuels and all that. They say, that's not going to matter. You see, we count the votes. We harvest the ballots. We control the cities. We're going to tell people to stop counting in Atlanta, Philadelphia, Detroit, Milwaukee that night. Now, mind you, their ideal scenario was not this. Their ideal scenario was Joe Biden winning convincingly and they flipped Senate seats in Montana and Iowa. And it's so overwhelming that the fraud would have just blended in.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone that would be yelling fraud would kind of look somewhat maniacal, right?
Yeah. Yep.
The fact that this was close, that Trump supporters rose up in such record numbers,
yes,
exposed their fraud in a way that it might not have otherwise. And so people say, well, what do I do? What do I do? You prosecute. You have to put pressure for prosecutions right now. If you do not see voter fraud prosecutions in the next week, your justice system is truly dead. It's that simple. If you can send 15 agents after Bubba Wallace because he has a rope in his garage, you can send 20 agents to this. We read this earlier. On November 4th, 2020, I was surprised to see the numerous new boxes of ballots arrive at the TCF Center in Michigan in the evening. Have you read this? Sworn affidavit. I first noticed these boxes in the distribution area after many of the military ballots had been distributed and processed. I eliminated those boxes because they contain several thousand new ballots. I estimate these boxes contain several thousand new ballots when they appeared. The main list of persons who had registered to vote on or before November 1st was all listed on electronic poll booth. As I understand it, the supplemental sheets were the list of persons who had registered to vote on November 2nd or November 3rd. I observed that none of the names on these new ballots were on the new voter electronic poll book. I saw the computer operators at several counting boards manually adding the names and addresses to these thousands of ballots into – this is a sworn affidavit in Michigan – into the QVF system. When I asked what the possible justification was for counting ballots from unknown, unverified persons, I was told by election supervisors that the Wayne County Clerk's office had, quote, checked them out. I challenged not one ballot, but the entire process, as the names were not in the QVF or supplemental sheets, and because the date of births were all wrong, as being marked 1-1-1900. All of them had the same birthday at the turn of the century when William McKinley was still alive. Where's the FBI investigation into this right now? Where's the FBI investigation? Now, I do have to say, there's a shift happening. People are waking up to this, Benny.
Yes.
Can you comment on how you're starting to see the narrative start to shift?
I believe that you're living through the scariest time in American history right now. What you've watched over the last 4 years, particularly certainly over the last generation, but ramped up at a rocket ship level speed and pace, has been the eroding and the destruction of American norms and institutions. Why is this important? Institutions are places that hold within them our value systems and protect them. The Department of Justice, the FBI, our intelligence agencies, our law enforcement agencies, Congress, the media. Back when your grandparents were alive, that was their job, to uphold truth in our political class. These systems have been eroded, starting with academia.
Mm-hmm. We know a lot about that.
We know a lot about that, through to the media, to your entertainment industry. Does anybody watch the NFL anymore? Does anybody watch the NBA? They've done away with that. They've ripped that out from under you. The left has then gone and systematically destroyed Congress. What's Congress's approval rating right now?
8%.
Donald Trump's is 51%. But Congress is 8. What does that tell you?
He won 71 million votes, and we don't know how many votes that Biden won.
And the last institution they had, the last institution the cultural Marxists had, was our electoral system.
Mm-hmm.
Something that, not since Bush, but really like never widespread, has there been like this fraud claim.
Yes.
You talk about 1960 election a lot. No, that's famous.
This is the worst.
But this is the worst.
This is a total highway robbery. And you know what frustrates me? It frustrates me when I get these private messages being like, yeah, we should probably stop talking about this right now. Like, no, you're a coward. Resign from politics. This is the fight of the civilization. They stole this from us, everybody. It's that simple. There's no way that you can actually justify all these different numbers. This was a highway robbery.
When you erode the system in which we impart power, because the power is in the people, and we impart it through our voice and our vote. When you erode that system and you rip the faith out from under that system, you truly have destroyed the representative republic that it represents. And so that is a terrifying moment, and it's also why we need to fight this and expose this now, or truly American civilization is on the line.
Ben, you want to put in your IFB? We have a guest joining us from a piece that I read this morning that I really enjoyed from Scott Hounsell. Scott, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. So Scott has this amazing piece, everybody, that says, excuse me while I call BS in Wisconsin. I've been talking about this for a couple days here, Scott. I want to focus. Can you just first give us your analysis of what happened in Wisconsin and all of the discrepancies? I have this highlighted. For instance, in Wisconsin, data suggests that there are issues that need looking into in five counties in particular: Washington, St. Croix, I don't know if I'm saying that right, Dane, Waukesha, and Ozaukee counties. What happened in Michigan, Scott? I mean, Wisconsin, not Michigan.
So in Wisconsin, you see a trend of data. So anytime you see trends of data, there's a line and it stays on the trend. Those data points fall along that trend line. With these five counties, they take off from the trend line. So again, data doesn't trend according to everything. If you take these five counties out, Biden averaged a negative 8.5% turnout compared to Obama's 2012 showing in the state. If you add these counties back in, or if you just in these counties alone, we see that Biden outdid Obama's turnout by 15% in one, 16% in another, 20% in another, 30%, 31% in the next, and the last one at 38.39%. These numbers just don't match anything else that happened in the state. They are statistical outliers.
Yeah, so you go through this piece by piece. We're talking about counties that are just miles away from each other that performed complete and polar opposites. Is that right?
Correct. So like in Ozaukee County, you have Biden outperforming Obama by 38.39%. But just to the south, the neighboring county to the south, which is actually Milwaukee. So you'd expect Milwaukee to be worse, if not multiple times worse. And yet Biden underperformed Obama's 2012 turnout by 4.57%. So we're talking about a 42% swing over a course of a matter of miles.
And so you mentioned here, you say in Dane County, which, by the way, is on our board here, Biden shot past Obama by 20.4%, another strange statistical bump. So are you in Wisconsin currently, or you know the state of Wisconsin pretty well, it sounds like. So Dane County is where the University of Wisconsin-Madison is. It's closed and shuttered mostly right now. So how is it that Joe Biden shot past Obama by 20.4% in the county where University of Wisconsin-Madison is?
We're also talking about 45,000 votes in a state that Biden only won by 20,000 votes. So in just Dane County. So again, it's a huge number that is pretty suggestive of what it's talking about organic growth. If growth over a period of time, you could expect a 5 or 7%. Suddenly, when you're talking about 20 points, when everything else in the state lagged, you're talking about synthetic or outside influences that altered that number by that much.
You say here, you go through county by county and you end with, are you saying it's 100% fraud? You just want answers. Is there any movement right now into getting this understood or verified or at least discovered?
I really wish that I could give you an answer from that. Unfortunately, having not had any contact with the Trump campaign, I don't know exactly whether or not this data is being analyzed and pushed for it. I will say this. There's a lot of people that are a lot smarter than I on the legal team of the president that are, I'm sure, looking at numbers like this and using these as means of targeting or where to look for fraud, where to look for mail problems or mail ballot issues.
It's absolutely incredible. And so, I mean, if I believe so firmly that they stole Wisconsin from President Trump, and you say this very, very well in this state, can you just play devil's advocate? What could their explanation possibly be for this? That Joe Biden had a wonderful ground game, that he was such a compelling candidate?
Well, here's the funny part about it. And this is what they're kind of left with: two options. One is massive fraud. We committed fraud. The other one is, and that these counties that I'm, that these five counties, they're all majority white. So either their argument is that white people didn't show up for Obama, racist white liberals didn't show up for Obama, or fraud. Because there really isn't a middle ground. Where's the other potential here? You know, again, going back to the fact that these counties are primarily white, they have not had turnout levels of this. In each of these counties, 96% turnout in Washington County, 96% turnout in St. Croix County.
Are you serious?
Are you serious? Yes, 95% in Waukesha and Ozaukee counties. I mean, these numbers are, having worked in political data for a long time, these numbers are statistically impossible.
Well, I know you work in political data, and I know you're not from Wisconsin because it's Waukesha. I'm giving you a hard time because I'm from Northern Illinois. But no, I'm so glad that you're diving deep into it. And it's you're trying to tell me they have 94% turnout. Now, I mean, is anyone having to answer for this? And so we have this BBC article. Where's my Gabon article here? I have an article here that is written by the BBC. It's actually fascinating. So you should go work for an NGO at the UN that wasn't a corrupt racket. because there's this article written by BBC that says, here's how you find and you spot voter fraud. Oh, here's our Stacey Abrams picture in case you just want to know who all, we're all working for. So there you go, Benny. So here's the okay. No, not this one. Okay, here it is. Vote rigging. How to tell the telltale signs. So this was written by BBC, okay? And the BBC would go into third world countries and they would help train the democratic side, the side that wanted democracy, that didn't want corruption. Here's how you spot voter fraud. Okay, here's what they say. Number one, too many voters. They say you never get a 98 or 99% turnout in an honest election. They say even where voting is mandatory in Australia, they don't even crack 92%. Are you trying to tell me that with non-mandatory voting that there was 94%? In what county? In Waukesha, Washington, or
Waukesha had 94.56% turnout. In Washington County, it was 96.6% turnout.
I mean, these numbers are impossible. And but what? I mean, I'm just trying to just do a thought exercise. What would their answer possibly be?
So, in the devil's advocate act is that. That Wisconsin has same day registration. So you can walk into a polling place, register to vote, and vote in the same day. Those numbers have usually been someplace between 10 and 12% of the total electorate of those days of the day of election. However, if you remember, there was all this push for mail voting. So we have to we'd have to assume that these people didn't register to vote, didn't ask for mail ballots, and didn't cast their ballots despite the instructions from the Democrats for months that that's what they had to be doing. So again, I can't imagine that that day of election voting would increase the numbers by this much.
No, it's impossible. And by the way, so you know what the other sign of fraud is? If we were going into Gabon to try to find fraud, it says delay in announcing results. That's one of the other ones that they say when you're trying to look for fraud. Large number of invalid votes, more votes than ballot papers issued, results don't match, and a high turnout in specific areas. There you go, my friend. It says right here, high turnout in specific areas with irregularities. So if we were just coming into a third world and we're saying, huh, I wonder like what actually might constitute. By the way, this is taxpayer-funded BBC, which is usually a pile of steaming trash. It's not exactly my favorite document to read. And it says, why would one particular area or one polling station have a 90% turnout while most other areas register less than 70%? Are you seeing that, Wisconsin?
I haven't been able to get down on the precinct level because most of my data is based upon just what's available from the high-level stuff available from the state. However, you have to assume, like, for instance, if you're talking about Washington County, that's the average turnout for all the polling locations.
Jeez, jeez.
So again, that's the whole county. So there's probably some places that were 90 and there's probably some places that were 102. And so you've got, again, and when you say 102, this is based upon registration. Yes, they have same day registration. Yes, it could be more voters than what are registered on the rolls, all this talk. But again, to have that sort of turnout when it's never been that case in the past is definitely an issue.
It's more than an issue. So, Scott, in closing, I want to just reiterate the article. We have a lot of people emailing us asking about it. Redstate.com. Excuse me while I call BS in Wisconsin. It's Scott Hunsell. Is that right?
So it's like council, see, but with an H.
See, that's how I totally butchered that.
I screwed up Waukesha or whatever it is.
There you go. So we'll trade. So just in closing, you believe with a high degree of certainty there is some funny business going on here in Wisconsin through your data analysis.
Correct. I don't believe that these numbers are organic.
I completely agree. Excuse me while I call BS in Wisconsin. Scott, thank you for joining the Charlie Kirk Show. How could people follow you on social media?
Hound Sizzle, at Hound Sizzle on Twitter, or you can just go to redstate.com/Scott Hounsel.
Thank you, my friend. We'll be hawking this. Thank you so much.
Hound Sizzle. I think that's cultural appropriation.
Look, a lot of people talk about censorship on social media. I know I do. and the left wants to silence and remove any voices they don't agree with. Twitter and Facebook were supposed to be open platforms. I don't need their content moderators acting like the op-ed section of the failing New York Times. So instead of letting social media sites revoke your right to free speech, how about revoking their right to your data? Now you could just deactivate all your social media accounts, but that would just give the left just what they wanted. Instead, I use ExpressVPN. Ever wonder how free-to-access sites like Facebook make all their money? Well, by tracking your searches, video history, and everything you click on, and then selling your available data. When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. And ExpressVPN couldn't be easier to set up. You just use one tap right there, and ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your data, protect you from hackers and internet bad guys. It's finally time to say no to censorship and take back your online privacy. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. By visiting my special link, you'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free. Again, that's ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Protect your data today. So, Benny, what do you make of the 102% turnout? Everybody, welcome Isabel Brown back.
Hi, everybody.
Are you okay standing?
I gotta find a place to sit, but we'll make it happen.
We'll find a chair. So Benny, 102% turnout in Waukesha County. I never thought I'd be actually correcting people of counties in Wisconsin, but we're in a bizarre week right now.
There's a account that I follow on Twitter of a man who lives in Miami. Hello, Isabel.
Hello, Benny.
He's a person who escaped Maduro's Venezuela.
Maduro.
And you may remember Venezuela to be one of the most prosperous nations in South America. And it was, if you wanted to go on vacation in South America, you wanted to go to Venezuela in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. And then communists took over. How did they take over? This guy had this incredible, and I'll shout out the handle. I'll have to look it up. But he has this incredible story of how you would go to bed, and the candidate who was the freedom candidate, the capitalist candidate,
was winning.
Mm-hmm. And then everyone would go to bed. And then in the middle of the night, stacks of votes would be miraculously found, and they'd only go one way. They'd only be for Maduro. And you can actually look it up. I looked it up. This is precisely how Maduro got into power. And then he brought communism down on the entire country and famously just destroyed it in less than a generation, 10 years.
Yeah, and Maduro was after Chavez. Yeah, mm-hmm. And Chavez did the same sort of thing.
Chavez. Sorry, I was flipping them around. Yes, yeah, Maduro came after Chavez.
Yeah,
and Chavez
died. Nationalized the oil industry and created lot of the – No, it's
– So the question is, how do you keep America from becoming a third world country? If you go to places like Gabon, you fly in, right, at the airport. You just understand that the country is corrupt.
Yeah.
You understand that the systems are corrupt. Bribery is just a way of life.
Yes,
how do you prevent
100%.
America from becoming that? That's the question.
And I say this with no, I'm not saying this insultingly. It's factually. In the third world, a couple $100 gets you whatever you want. I mean, you got to leave a plane. You got to get out of a conversation with a police officer. If you're in trouble, there's nothing that you can't pay your way out of. In America, we kind of think of things differently. Instead, we just give to politicians PACs, political actions committees.
Got them.
Right. Instead of doing that. But
join Charlie Kirk on his next show, Dad Jokes.
CharlieKirk.com/support. It's been a long month this week. No, but the point is this, is that if you were trying to – here's what I think really happened here is this was their plan B. They had this infrastructure in place, and I actually think they scrambled to put it into place as Trump got more and more popular throughout the month.
I believe that's completely correct.
Absolutely.
I believe that the system of rallies that you spoke at, a number of them, and you saw the enthusiasm, unparalleled enthusiasm for this president, even in the time of coronavirus, I think that that was a shock to the system.
Yes.
And I believe that they intended on cheating. This is clearly true. But they didn't realize how much they would have to cheat by.
Well, and beyond the rallies, too. I mean, you saw car parades and boat parades with thousands and thousands of people showing up spontaneously. It wasn't planned. It was the night before people saying, let's go express our support for this president and what this campaign means to us as the American people. So I think that definitely was a shock factor as we got closer to last Tuesday.
Yeah, and I think that they did not anticipate this election to be close, and this was a red wave everywhere.
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 California.
Beverly Hills, California.
Yes. Beverly Hills voted for Trump.
Beverly Hills, California.
Thank you, MAGA Hulk.
Beverly Hills.
MAGA Hulk's been doing great. Shout out, Stephen Davis.
Yeah, but the fact that we can look at a map and see Beverly Hills as red, but yes. not honestly be able to expect all of these results, that makes you a conspiracy.
But not
theorist.
The Iron Range in Minnesota. Yeah. Beverly well, so, Hills so, is red sure. and the Iron Range is...
So how did the Iron Range not go for Trump?
That's the million-dollar question.
It's the million-vote question.
Amen to that.
We're going to get a video here. The Washington Post is wrongly saying that the whistleblower for the USPS... We have his name right here, actually. Richard Hopkins recanted his testimony. He actually has said that four FBI agents spent 4 hours with him pressuring him into recanting.
Unbelievable.
We lost the Bureau a long time ago, everybody.
Cool. Cool. Chris Ray, great job, guys. Great job. You could have had Ted Cruz. You could have.
Sidney Powell.
You could have had Sidney Powell.
Look, the Bureau is the creepiest division of the government. But going back to J. Edgar Hoover, they've always had way too much power. You guys can email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, as we pull up this video brought to you by James O'Keefe.
Who would be your choice for FBI director?
Given the opportunity? Sidney Powell.
Sidney Powell, okay. Who would be your
Michael
choice?
Michael Flynn.
Yeah. Okay.
Roger Stone.
Your memes would make themselves.
Yeah, it'd just
Betty.
Be the meme. Yeah, it'd be the meme. There'd be no memes left. Everyone would just go. They just atomize. You put Michael Flynn in charge of the FBI. Do you see that Pompeo quote today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have the Pompeo clip. Can we play that the Pompeo awesome. Clip? By the way, I think there's something to this. By the way, I think that they're briefed on some intelligence mm-hmm. that
Beyond
actually might. Let's play Pompeo right here. Play tape.
Is the State Department currently preparing to engage with the Biden transition team? And if not, at what point does a delay hamper a smooth transition or pose a risk to national security?
There will be a smooth transition to a second Trump administration. All right, we're ready. The world is watching what's taking place here. We're going to count all the votes. When the process is complete, there'll be electors selected. There's a process. The Constitution lays it out pretty clearly. The world should have every confidence that the transition necessary to make sure that the State Department is functional today, successful today, and successful with the president who's in office on January 20th, a minute after noon, will also be successful.
May I ask something? Someone who played – did you play sports, Isabel?
Of course I played sports.
Okay. You played sports. I know this.
Yes.
Okay. Charlie's a good basketball player.
I'm actually a lot better than people think.
Good basketball player.
And also I'm taller than people think when they meet me.
Well, that makes a difference in basketball for sure.
Not as much in golf.
True.
Isabel's 6 feet tall, so just extrapolate.
Yeah, way taller than you think on my social media, you guys.
If you win a game, if you win a close game, how do you behave? Like, this is human nature.
This is a great point.
If you win a close game, and maybe you were an underdog, or maybe you were accomplishing something great, you beat your major adversary, the biggest adversary, your biggest rival, you just defeated him, how do you behave?
Celebration and gratitude?
Yes.
Graciously.
Yeah. Do you immediately run over to the other side and make a list of every player on the other team? So that you can make sure that you dox them all on social media.
Now, there are a couple NBA players that used to do that.
Do you try and burn down their school?
We call them the Detroit Pistons.
Do you run over and burn down their school?
Or prevent them from getting a job or getting into medical school? Or I mean, the list could go on.
There are like these human nature. So the question is, are Democrats behaving as winners? Or are they behaving as cheaters?
They're behaving as cheaters.
Like, what are they behaving like? Like, take a second and think about, like, if you have kids or if you think about yourself in high school. Like, for me, that was 27 years ago. Like, what did you behave like? There's a human nature element to this. When you look on social media right now, you do not see liberals elated, humble, mm-hmm. proud of their work. You do not see the left, the verified left, doing anything other than making lists, building fortresses, like scared, entrenched, worried. If you talk to one of your leftist friends and you're a conservative, all it takes is a little poke and they'll freak out. They'll snap. The Trump Accountability Project, as Charlie's showing me right now, is a perfect example of this. This is not the behavior of human beings who have won anything. This is the behavior of cheaters who are scared to death that they're going to be exposed and they have to silence you and make mm-hmm. you fearful to ask questions so that they can get away with it.
This is such a good point. If they actually won legitimately, they would have behaved like we did in 2016.
Absolutely.
We were happy. We were full of gratitude. I'll never forget. And then I want to play this clip of Richard Hopkins, who's being intimidated by our own government, which welcome to the big leagues, Richard. get in line. I'll never forget. I was up till like 4:45, 5 o'clock in the morning when President Trump won back in 2016. It was one of the most amazing nights. I was there at the Hilton in downtown New York and went back to our hotel. And I woke up super early in the morning and I met one of our board members for breakfast at like 9 a.m. with like 3 hours of sleep. But we were on just pure joy adrenaline, right? I'll never forget. I went outside and there was a singular protester against Trump, one. Mm-hmm. And she had a sign that said something really bizarre. It was super New York-y, right? Because so it's like kind of like figure it out because it was like kind of indirect. And like these New York protesters always try to be really cute, which is like the sadness has come for our nation or something, right? So I remember my tone being a winner was like, hey, it's going to be okay. He's going to be a president of all Americans. Like I legitimately was like trying to console her. Mm-hmm. I wasn't like, ha, lib, cry, you're awful. Like that just wasn't like where I was.
Line of the night.
It wasn't like
Charlie just went to the campus and started that 24 hours later.
That was a couple months after they burnt down our country and spied on our president and launched a coup. Then I was like, that's it. What was that girl's name? Go find her. Kidding. Instead, I didn't go up to her. I was like, what's your name? You're on the list.
Where do you work?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Where's your family? Yeah. Where
it's
do you
not
live?
Yep,
that's exactly
it's
right.
It's not natural after you win legitimately
correct.
To behave like this.
Correct.
It's not.
Correct. Did Isabel, did you go make a list of Obama administration officials?
No.
So that you can make sure that you call up their employers after the administration?
No. And who honestly would behave like that as a normal human being? I mean, this is so far beyond politics. This goes into the general psychology of what it means to understand another human being and have empathy. For those of you that don't know, the reason I was a couple of minutes late this evening was I was doing a Zoom event with one of our chapters in Tennessee. And the number of our students that I've talked to over the last several days who genuinely are starting to think they may never get a job. They may never get into graduate school. They're going to get Fs on all of their papers. They may be expelled from school because they dared to post one picture in a MAGA hat. That is unacceptable. And
sickening.
It has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with this new level of insanity. We thought Trump derangement syndrome was bad in 2016. We have reached entirely new levels of what people are willing to do to each other and what we're capable of over political differences.
Well, and it's not how winners behave. And this is a Turning Point USA chapter.
It is,
right?
Yes,
TPUSA.com, wearing Turning Point USA gear.
Always
Benny's not wearing Turning Point
it.
USA gear.
Ouch.
But we'll excuse him on that. But I think that someone said, oh, Charlie, I was with you 100% till that piston dig. Hey, the 1990s Pistons were like the dirtiest team that play, okay? Isaiah Thomas and all of them.
They were great.
The Bulls were better, okay? Ugh. Richard Hopkins, he signed an affidavit saying that the Postal Service was reversing dates to allow backdated ballots in Pennsylvania. Wait till you see this clip. Play tape.
They were grilling the hell out of me.
How are you feeling right now?
I'm kind of pissed. I feel like I just got played.
And I heard him say to the supervisor that they messed up yesterday. I was like, oh, what did they mess up on? And he told the supervisor that they had postmarked one of the ballots for the 4th instead of the 3rd. Because they were supposed to put them for third.
And so let me make good on that promise right away, okay? This storm is getting crazy, right? And it's out of a lot of people's control. And so the reason they called me in is to try to harness that storm, try to reel it back in before it gets really crazy.
Okay. I understand.
Because we have senators involved, we have the Department of Justice involved.
LOL.
We have
Trump's lawyers' team's gotten a hold of me.
I am trying to twist you a little bit because in that, believe it or not, your mind will kick in.
Okay.
We like to control our mind, and when we do that, we can convince ourselves of a memory. But when you're under a little bit of stress, which is what I'm doing to you purposely, your mind can be a little bit clearer. And we're going to do a different exercise, too, to make your mind a little bit clearer.
Okay? Good to go.
So, but this is all on purpose.
Roger.
I am not scaring you, but I am scaring you.
It seems like they were trying to make me distrust y'all. And at the same time, it kind of affected, but at the same time, I was like, no, these guys have had my back since the get-go. So that's why I continued.
Do you think these federal agents have your back?
At this point, no. Hell
do you think
no.
these federal agents are really interested in investigating fraud?
Honestly, I don't think they are.
And in fact, you heard Weisenberg tell a supervisor they were backdating the ballots to make it appear they've been collected on November 3rd. You still stand by that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
It becomes evident every single day, more and more evident, how
this is a police state.
They got Michael Flynn.
But what we have right there, God bless him for recording it.
Yeah.
He should go to jail, this Russell guy. He's a federal investigator saying there's senators involved, the DOJ's involved, the Trump campaign's involved. I'm not scaring you, but I'm scaring
this
you.
This literally looks like a CIA interrogation of a terrorist from a TV
right.
show.
This
That's
guy
what
works
looks
for
like.
The post office.
Right. Wait, I thought just seconds ago we were supposed to respect our noble post office workers. They are the salt of the earth, the noblest. The post office must never, ever be questioned.
And what you all saw right there through audio is a federal metaphorical waterboarding scheme where they go and they metaphorically put your head underwater saying, you better remember better, boy. Remember better. Is this the government that represents us?
Isn't it? No. No.
But this stuff wouldn't – that dog doesn't hunt in Central America.
I mean, thank God that he recorded it, but this is already happening right before our eyes. 100%. Imagine what else we can uncover if more people courageously stepped up and started to leak this stuff and started to talk about it, what they experienced working in these polling locations, working for the United States Postal Service. I mean, we already have hundreds of signed affidavits coming out of the state of Michigan alone, let alone everywhere else across the country. But imagine if we could see every one of those conversations.
Get this tweet up on screen. I think we might be seeing something happen gradually, then suddenly, as Ernest Hemingway would say. And we've been seeing it, and we've been having this drumbeat here on the Charlie Kirk Show. And you support us at charliekirk.com/support. It helps make it happen. Breaking right now, President Donald Trump on Twitter. Quote, I don't care what state you're in. This computing voting system is wide open and open to fraud and intervention, according to Lou Dobbs. Here's what President Trump says. True, and wait until you see what's coming. You see that, everybody? Now, mind you, I have found something very interesting here, and our amazing team here that you guys help support confirmed it for me. Benny and Isabel, we read a lot of leftist media, right? You can cut that off the screen. Thank you. We get a lot of push notifications from Huffington Post.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I found to be really bizarre?
What?
How they've been handling Trump not conceding. Now, yeah, they do their like mockery and all that, but it's actually not. It's not the same flow of information that I thought. Let me prove it to you. The New York Times says, President-elect Joe Biden has already won the election. Even if President Trump was able to overtake Biden in Arizona or Georgia or both, or hold on to North Carolina and Alaska where he's leading, the fact would not change. That's a weird way to word it, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm. I saw that
that's
article,
a,
and
that's
it was
a,
strange.
Doth protest too much, New York Times?
Who are you going to believe? Your eyes or us?
Your own brain, or have you convinced yourself, going back to that tape we just watched?
Guys,
silence.
This entire election.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Mm-mm. We are the New York Times.
No, but even the way the New York Times worded that is so suspicious. I mean, that's the way the New York Times would. Here's how the New York
Sinister.
Times. Here's how the New York Times should write that if they did it the way they did it with other Trump scandals or whatever. President Donald Trump is destroying democracy and putting America in danger by not conceding to Joe Biden. That's the article that they usually write. Not President-elect Biden has already won, but even if President Trump was able to overtake Biden in Arizona or Georgia or both, or hold on to North Carolina and Alaska where he's leading, the fact would not change. What? Like, that's a weird way.
It's so
like,
bizarre.
That's so un-New York Timesy of them. That's so undogmatic. That's almost – is that almost social conditioning their audience to being that – there might be some reversals happening soon.
Believe us. Believe us. Believe us. Repeat the incantation. Joe Biden is your president.
So I find
Joe Biden is your president-elect. No, he's not, good. By the way. For what it's worth, Joe Biden is not the president-elect.
Correct.
Can we just say – president-elect is not a position, okay?
It's not.
It's just –
Thank you.
I'm president-elect. You're president-elect. Okay.
Thank you.
It means nothing. The states haven't voted. Okay. The electors have not voted.
But this hyper-focus on this idea of not conceding, I find so interesting because for the last several days, we all do a lot of media interviews. We're on TV and radio and stuff all the time. That is the number one topic I've been asked about more than anything else. And I did a live radio interview with media in the United Kingdom yesterday, and all they wanted to talk about was how unpresidential it was that President Trump has not yet conceded, even if there's going to be an investigation and even if this has to go through the Supreme Court and through litigation. Look, when we really think about this, this is basically the Super Bowl. We're in the fourth quarter. We have one pass left and there was a flag thrown, and we have to look into this and make sure that all the rules were followed, that everything went through the right processes to understand who won the game. That's it. You don't say you lost the game and then review the penalty flag. You do that first.
Exactly.
So this
right.
idea that we have to concede in order to be polite and be presidential and follow the history of this makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
A lot of sports references.
Lots
I love
of sports
this.
Tonight.
This is great. Al Gore thought he was president for 37
days. 37 days. And the
so
media did too.
I want to play a couple clips here of the hammer and scorecard from General Thomas McInerney. Did I say that right? I can never pronounce it right. I'm sorry. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. This general, McInerney. McInerney. Is that right? Is that better? Wait till you hear this. This is amazing information. By the way, everybody, things are happening very quick. I have never seen establishment Republicans defend the president. Can you and we're going to go through Roy Blunt, Mitch McConnell, and Pompeo, and Ron Johnson. All of them are weirdly harmonizing around this idea that this election's not over.
Mm-hmm.
And it all might be because of this. Play tape.
The Obama administration took this system and they put in an application in this SIGINT program called Scorecard. And Scorecard changes votes at a certain point in the voting stream. And if I can, and by the way, the Obama administration used it in the 2012 election in Florida. And so both Obama and Biden are very familiar with this.
Now I want to play cut 23 now, please. Sidney Powell.
If you look at Florida, where things were done right, you can see that that's how the rest of the country should have gone. But they also used an algorithm to calculate the votes they would need to flip, and they used the computers to flip those votes from Biden to, from Trump to Biden, and from other Republican candidates to their competitors also. I think Doug Collins had the race stolen from him. I think John James had his race stolen from him. It wasn't just President Trump. There were many people affected by this. We have got to fight tooth and nail in federal court to expose this abject fraud and the conspiracy behind it, and get a recount and audits in every place it's needed, which is, frankly, most of the country.
And then cut 8, please.
We talked about the Dominion software. I know that there were voting irregularities. Tell me about that.
That's to put it mildly. The computer glitches could not and should not have happened at all. That is where the fraud took place, where they were flipping votes in the computer system or adding votes that did not exist. We need an audit of all of the computer systems that played any role in this fraud whatsoever. And, you know, Joe Biden had it right. He said that he had the biggest voter fraud organization ever, and he didn't need people's votes now. He would need people later. They had this all planned, Maria.
Now, none of that actually surprises me in the sense that our government is actually trying to rig elections. We rig elections all across the planet all the time, and I don't trust our government at all. What's amazing, Benny, do you remember when the Democrat Party used to hate the CIA and not trust the government?
Yeah. You mean like when we were teenagers?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Those are fascinating. It's fascinating to see the number of times I retweet Glenn Greenwald now and go, yes, absolutely. Boom.
We used to hate Glenn Greenwald. Like 8 years ago, we were told to hate him.
Yes. And now it's like he's one of the few truth tellers out there.
Well,
it does
like
show the power. It shows the power of our intelligence. It shows the power of our intelligence agencies, which are not America. It's anti-America. That's the anti-church. It's the anti-America, these intelligence agencies that are now turning their statecraft on the American people. It's wickedness. It's evil. it gives you a little bit of sense of empathy for countries where they did this and they meddled in elections
like
and
Iran.
They flipped votes. Yeah. Yes. And they ousted rightful leaders. Mm-hmm. And it gives you a little bit of empathy for those countries. And now you can see this sinister statecraft turned on the American people that fund it, which is fascinating.
Yep.
We pay for this to be happening to us right
That's
now.
That's right. So that doesn't surprise me. What does surprise me is, do we have Roy Blunt here, Senator Blunt? So this guy is not one to go pick a fight.
Yeah.
And I want to play Roy Blunt. I want to play Ron Johnson. And then do we have McConnell? Maybe we don't. But we have Johnson and Roy Blunt, okay? Now, we're all grassroots conservatives here, right? Isabel, myself, Benny. We're Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, Rand Paul, Josh Hawley, Tom Cotton types, right? We want to fight. We are not Republican establishment types. I'm glad they're in office. That's fine. Great. We got judges, but we want dramatic action. Okay. But when Republican establishment folks start talking like this, pay really close attention because they usually know something. Play tape.
That virtually every predictor of what was going to happen in the elections was wrong. You know, the president wasn't defeated by huge numbers. In fact, he may not have been defeated at all.
Fascinating.
So that's Senator Roy Blunt, who's in leadership of the U.S. Senate. Now, listen to Senator Ron Johnson today asked if he called Joe Biden to congratulate him. It's hard to hear, so I'll tell you what he says after he says it. Play tape.
Senator, have you congratulated Vice President Biden yet?
No.
Why not?
So it's hard to hear, but it says there's nothing to congratulate him about.
Hmm.
Does that sound like an election that's over when the head of the Department of Homeland Security and Roy Blunt, who's in leadership, and Mike Pompeo, who's the head of Secretary of State, and President Donald Trump says, wait till you see what comes next? What are the these people don't just it's not like they don't talk. There's something happening here.
Well, I think we've all known that. We know that. It's what we've been talking about all week.
But the fact that they're talking, what's happening here is this actually might be revealed.
What a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
What a legacy. What a legacy to create the amount of hatred that was building and then to ensnare them in their own trap and expose the voter fraud that is on record. Where's that giant pile? The voter fraud that is on record.
Mm-hmm. Benny, you have to memorize that before the end of the live stream.
What an incredible legacy that would be. To expose that system. And then if Republicans start having guts, you're starting to hear, then to enact sweeping change like national voter ID law, like a full federal audit of voter rolls, and then the modernization of American voter systems with no foreign technology inside of those systems, and then mandatory, like they do in Australia, like they do in other first world nations, mandatory nonpartisan, both sides approved poll watchers at every poll watching locations. Not a football field away, like you saw in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia. A mandatory voters watching over your shoulder as you count votes.
So, and these are Republican senators that, quite honestly, they'd love just to get their Senate majority and get on with it. Unless they're briefed on some very top secret confidential intelligence, maybe Dominion was hacked by the Chinese.
Well,
by the Iranians.
Did you hear about Gina Haspel today? Gina Haspel, who does not pay – she is the head of the CIA. She is a very quiet member of the administration.
Do not trust the agency.
I'm not saying trust them. I'm saying why is she going in and out of Mitch McConnell's office?
And having a 20-minute meeting. Yeah.
So she's zipping in and out of the office. This is not a woman who just goes and wanders into places willy-nilly. Certainly not the leader of the Senate. And why is she up there? It's a great question.
And so the way that the D.C. Beltway is spinning it is they say Senate Republicans urge Trump not to fire CIA Director Gina Haspel, that she wants to get her voice behind for the stimulus package. Like, yeah, OK, I don't think Gina Haspel is taking a trip from Langley and overseeing all the governments that we're trying to overthrow to go to Congress. She might have intercepted some information from the agency that there was some infiltration into this from foreign governments. And by the way, we don't say any of this stuff lightly, guys. We are a fact-first show, as you can see.
Obviously.
And, I mean, Isabel is nicely highlighting bellwether counties, all this sort of stuff that we have here. Let's play Mitch McConnell, who's not one to go run into a fight. All of a sudden, fight? Play tape.
And President Trump is 100% within his rights to look into allegations of irregularities and weigh his legal options.
And I want to play the Louis Gohmert clip. He's a congressman, and we just had Congressman Gosar here calling into an investigation to Dominion voting systems. Wait till you hear Louis Gohmert, totally based. Play.
They knew he didn't have to get out and campaign and work like President Trump because the fix was in between ES&S and Dominion and some of the plans that were in place or the equipment that they had installed and the software and how it was set up. But I can tell you, unless the fraud is exposed,
yeah,
and that's what's being worked on, then the president will not be able to win. Apparently, the model they were the people behind this were planning on was that Trump, at best, might be able to get as many votes as Obama did in his best election. And so when it was moving toward pronouncing Trump as the winner and president reelect, he had flown by Obama's numbers. They weren't ready for that.
Yeah.
So they had to figure out how do you come up with enough votes? We're about to lose this thing. So you suspend counting and you go back and work again.
And that's exactly what happened. So now you see a drumbeat amongst establishment Republicans, cabinet officials, mm-hmm, that are all echoing the same thing, that there's something wrong with what happened this election. And you know what the fraud is about all of this? The same people that produced a fake election interference scandal, the Russian scandal, are now the ones that are saying there's nothing wrong here without ever even looking to it at all.
They're not even saying there's nothing wrong. They're saying it's impossible to have any sort of interference or false ballots or anything. I mean, the narrative has fundamentally flipped on its head.
And so they say that the Kremlin was the one that was determining this entire election.
Memes of Jesus arm wrestling Hillary. Will Jesus win? Punch like. That's a Russian meme. If you ever look these up, Can you do this now? Can you say, look up the Russian memes? You got to see it. New York Times published them, okay?
I don't want to see my cookies all of a sudden filled with a bunch of New York Times nonstop flights to Moscow.
Published the memes. Published the memes of and the memes were hysterical. As a guy who did my trade craft is memes, not spying on duly elected presidents. Jesus arm wrestling Hillary. Guys, that was great. Good job. That really swung the election for Trump. In the meantime, the media is lying about those memes, mm-hmm, to give cover for the real operation that's going on, which is the actual spying on an incoming American administration.
Correct.
Legitimate spying that was done off of a fraudulent dossier that everyone knew was fake. And that is what I'm talking about when I say statecraft turned on the American people. It is unparalleled in the – I mean, it'll make you sad knowing that Peter Strzok is now teaching at Georgetown, teaching your children. Oh, there!
You
oh my God!
I did go to Georgetown.
you learned from Peter Strzok, Strzok smirk.
Oh
wish
yeah!
I
all
right,
let's
take
go
it
to the
class,
meme.
Yeah.
This is an example of a.
That's it.
This
That's
is an example
it.
Of a Russian meme.
You know this meme
do you want
really
Jesus
influenced
to win?
How I voted in 2016.
Is that how?
Directly? Actually,
Isabel,
this is why I chose to vote for
this
President Trump.
As a young woman,
what the Democrats said turned it for Trump.
That's it. That's exact. So first off, first question, Charlie, why did you pose in that photo as Jesus? What did they pay you?
The hair looks similar, right?
It does. All you need is a couple more. Yeah.
I will cut my hair when I get a recount.
Okay.
People say, when are you going to cut your hair? I'll say full hand recount and a revote. Otherwise, I'm going to have John the Baptist hair.
Oh,
so 3 years, a special counsel investigation. Because of memes like that. Yet today, where's the stack? There is verifiable
stack,
proof.
We have the dead
have a
people
lot of
stack.
Stack.
Verifiable
we have the voter fraud
proof.
Stack. We have the affidavit stack.
Well,
we have
video footage.
We have the
Gabonese
foreign
footage.
Interference stack. We have the excuse me while I call BS stack. We have the Pennsylvania voter analysis stack.
So that won the election. Jesus arm wrestling Hillary swung the election.
Seems
but this
legit.
Didn't. But this, this didn't.
In the words of Gen Z lingo, this is really sus, I just have to say. If you don't know what that means, really suspicious, you guys. The fact sus. That they honestly believed a meme like that could swing an entire election.
Sounds like the Democrat Party.
Sus. Word of the day.
I would love to make more Jesus memes. Jesus arm wrestling. I don't know why. I don't know why I even try to make political creative content. I just need to have Jesus arm wrestle whoever I don't like in politics.
That's the end game.
Tonight, the president has promised that ballot corruption is going to be exposed on Sean Hannity tonight. Is what he says.
There we go. Anxious to see.
Okay, so the guarantee of all of this is that there's going to be an America after we get through this. Maybe it'll be Joe Biden president. Maybe it'll be Donald Trump. I think everyone is aware of where our bias is. However, how do you fix this? Going forward, there has to be a plan to fix it. What do Republicans, because they're going to be the only people incentivized to change this system, what do Republicans do to prevent this from happening in the future?
Well, it's very simple. You have to understand the mechanics of how elections are won. It's number one. So if they're going to ballot harvest, then we're going to ballot harvest. It's that simple. If all of a sudden they're the ones that are – ballot harvesting is legal in a lot of these states where it happens. They're going to do that. We're going to do that. Number two is that if we control the attorney general's offices in some of these states, then we need to prosecute these people immediately, aggressively, and – show no mercy whatsoever for the crimes that they committed against our country. It's that simple. Secondly, or third, is it's long past time for Republicans to stop underestimating the left. Yes. They will cheat to victory. They have. These are the people that launched an illegal intergovernmental coup against us, against our president. These are the people that put Dinesh D'Souza through hell and put him nearly in prison. They went after Steve Bannon. Mm-hmm. They go after Wayne LaPierre. They went after Roger Stone. They went after Paul Manafort. They went after Michael Flynn. They went after Don Jr. They went after the president and his entire family. Yet Hunter Biden walks free. Stroke Smirk walks free. Lisa Page walks free. Andrew McCabe walks free. In fact, even worse, Peter Strzok is being paid by Georgetown.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even worse, Stroke Smirk is now being called a hero on all the television networks. Lisa Page, the philanderer affair woman, gets called like a hero because she leaked in because she tried to launch intergovernmental coup, and her lover, Peter Stroke Smirk, said that, oh, I will never let this happen at the highest levels of the Bureau. Mm-hmm. We know what they're willing to do. They're willing to smear and slander Nick Sandman because he was wearing a MAGA hat with a smile that they didn't like because he was a skin color that they didn't like, that confirmed this weird, bizarre historical fetish that they have, that there's like a rise of a Third Reich in our country. That's what they're willing to do. They're willing to kick everyone off social media that they hate. They're willing to burn down cities. They're willing to go after 500 black-owned businesses in Minnesota and then go blame Trump for it. They're willing to burn down Kenosha, Wisconsin and act as if there's nothing to see here. And you're trying to tell me they're not willing to go cheat in elections after what the left has shown us with who they are? And that's my biggest disappointment here is where is the infrastructure that was waiting for them? Where were the federal agents saying, you know what?
Yep.
Count the ballots. Show me. And so we have to understand the number one takeaway from all this. And I do think that things are happening and we're going to learn a lot more, everybody, because since when we started doing these broadcasts a couple days ago, boom, has public opinion moved on this issue. Would you agree, Benny?
Correct.
A couple of days ago, people were like, it's over. Joe Biden's president-elect. Now, all of a sudden, you're seeing people like, hold on a second, irregularities and, you know, Benford's law and all this. Now you're starting to see people really challenge and think, as the great Rene Descartes said, who started the Enlightenment, which helped start Western civilization, I think, therefore I am. Mm-hmm. When you stop thinking, you stop being, which is exactly what's happened to so many people in this country. They just turned off their brain, like, just tell me what I need to hear. Tell me what it is. So that's one of the part of the lessons, Benny, is that we need to start believing who the left is, which is they are a dark movement who embrace literature that is dedicated to Lucifer, Rules for Radicals written by Saul Alinsky. I'll just stop right there.
Well, I think even before that, too, it's time to start asking all the right questions. We're not thinking. We're literally just consuming information, and whatever people tell us, that's what we accept as truth because it's coming from some level of authority, whether that's the mainstream media, the people who run the algorithm on your social media feed. We need to start asking people who can do something about this why there haven't been audits yet, why there haven't been recounts yet, and get involved in the process. And all of us can do that. That doesn't take rocket science. It doesn't take being the president of the United States. We can speak up right now.
Well, and here's the role you're playing. Since we started doing this, just our YouTube has garnered 4 million views in just America. You know the multiplier effect to get to senators and congresspeople? Our podcast, number one in news, number two overall in all podcasts. Mm-hmm. So when you guys supported us at charliekirk.com/support, you guys send our feed around. If all of you guys just texted this to one person right now, we are going to be able to help finish what we started with this. We're going to keep this drumbeat going nonstop because, guys, all of a sudden now you see Lindsey Graham, you see McConnell, you see Blunt, you see Pompeo, you see Gina Haspel.
Yep.
Something's happening here, and this is part of the thing. Yeah. I want you to imagine a world where this program didn't exist and all of us just went home like the Bushes would have. Like the Bushes are like, oh, congratulations, Joe Biden. You're going to open the borders and, you know, pander to China and go declare war on some poor sovereign nation of which we can't even pronounce right now. We like you.
Yeah. I don't know who needs to hear this, but 20 years ago, exactly to the day, George Bush was on national television saying we need to count every legal ballot.
Yeah.
And we need to throw out.
Can we get a tape of that, please?
We need to throw out irregularities. George Bush brought a massive legal team and a Supreme Court case to throw out irregular ballots.
And won.
And so it makes my blood boil to watch George W. Bush, who didn't lift a finger to fundraise or help Republicans in any cycle for the last four or five cycles, go out and say Donald Trump needs to accept the irregularities and the fraud that is being perpetrated against
him. That's exactly right.
When I refused to do that on a much smaller scale,
that was
in like an infinitesimal scale.
This was the problem in Florida. Okay. That's the problem. Okay. That was the problem. We're talking about all of this. Okay.
The stacks.
Yeah.
Also.
So let me ask the two of you a question. I came here and before I came here on a flight, we're in Arizona right now. I flew here from Washington. My home in Washington, D.C. I picked up my dry cleaning and I had to show my ID. I go to Zips Dry Cleaning. It's like a buck to get my suit dry cleaned. Mm-hmm. I had to show them my ID. It says a big sign. It says, show us your ID or else you don't get your dry cleaning. I had to show my ID twice in that process. Then I had to get in my car, where it's illegal to drive without an ID. It's illegal for me to drive myself to the airport, which I did. I drove to the airport, got in a parking spot, and then I got on my plane, wherein the government agent, the TSA agent, said ID. Didn't ask for my ticket, said ID, ran my ID through a machine that said I was on that flight or wasn't. And then when I had to get on my flight, not a government agent, just the person at American Airlines said, show me your ticket, which is tied to my ID. Mm-hmm. I can't get on the flight without having my ticket, which is my form of identification. So what is more important for the process of my week? My dirty laundry? My getting on a flight to Arizona? Or my vote? What is the most important constitutionally protected activity for me that week? This week, I voted, I got my dry cleaning, and I got on a plane.
Yeah.
What is the most important activity constitutionally that I undertook this week? Well, damn it, it's voting. There's only one of those is constitutionally protected. I don't know how bad the laundry was for John Adams. Probably terrible. It was the 1700s. But not even dry cleaning is considered constitutionally protected activity.
Right.
Yet I am required by Zips for my $1.30 dry clean to show an ID twice.
Well, we could come up with literally 400 things right now if we just sat here and
how
started
about
to list
a movie?
Them. Rent a movie. buy a beer at the grocery store. Open a bank account.
Yeah.
No, I always loved the renting a movie example because it was so incredibly Stalinistic the way they enforced the ID.
Yeah,
when we grew up in America, children did not have Netflix brought to you by Amazon Web Services. They didn't have these massive streaming capacities. You went to Family Video with a fake ID if you wanted to go rent an R-rated movie.
Yep.
Blockbuster.
Ooh, what R-rated movie were you renting as a teenager, Charlie?
Well, okay, so this is the important thing, though, to note is
my
that
my favorite Christmas movie.
Just like everything else in America in 2020, this idea that you need an ID to vote is somehow racist. Everything is racist. Everything's white supremacist. I'm young. It's no secret. I'm the youngest person on our contributor team. I'm 23. I was a sophomore in college when President Trump was elected in 2016. And the next day, everything from that day forward in my college experience was racist. Because I was the Turning Point chapter, I was the Nazi Barbie on campus. That was the nickname. I was that Turning Point.
I spoke.
White supremacist girl. Charlie remembers. I know. Almost 2.5 years ago. That is crazy to think about. And now you're seeing this same pattern of behavior start to happen on campuses. I'm doing lots of events with our chapters on Zoom and in person right now, where everything automatically is racist again. So I want to give you guys a couple examples while we're waiting for some of these clips to pull up, because it's really fascinating to see this cyclical history. But it's not just cyclical, it's exponential, just how crazy all of these claims are starting to get. At Boston University, Ibram Kendi, who's a very, very well-known organizer in the Black Lives Matter movement, author of a book called How to Not Be Anti-Racist or How to Be Anti-Racist,
something
along those lines.
This guy's more racist than most KKK members were.
He is a professor at Boston University, and he says that the term legal vote, that term is racist. That term is white supremacist in and of itself, let alone requesting that you have an ID to vote. At Princeton University, an African-American studies professor said that whiteness, sexism, and the patriarchy is responsible for how close this race was. The patriarchy and white supremacy is responsible
and
for
And we talk about this all the time at Turning Point USA. Please just stop sending your kids to college, everybody.
And if you are a student, video this stuff. You're on Zoom, screen record your classes, pull out your phone in class. I mean, the fact that at Tufts University, they said that the loss of Trump during this election was the perfection of the American Union because there's less white people voting, even though that doesn't make any sense because the president exponentially grew the support of minority communities for the GOP, for Republican candidates that we've never seen before. This is insane.
He did better with Black and Hispanic voters than any Republican since 1960. And he won every single bellwether county that has accurately predicted every winner since 1956.
So why not voter ID?
Well, so I don't understand, first of all, how you can be of age to vote and be a successful functioning human being and not have an ID.
So
I do need it for everything
else. I have two questions about voter ID, okay? The first of which, if you think Black people can't get voter ID, you're incredibly racist. That's number one. Like, oh, they can't get voter ID. Okay, you're a racist. Number two. The whole reparations argument, okay? And so for these people that say, we want reparations because we're descendants of slaves, like, okay, so let me get this straight. You can get your paperwork together to show that you're a ninth generation American descendant of slave and you can't show an ID when you vote? Like, you can get your paperwork together to show that, you know, you're 10 generations ago, your family was working the plantations in South Carolina and you can't just show an ID to go vote? Like, okay.
It does seem like diminutive. Certain populations to be like, you're not capable of getting an ID.
That's the bigotry of low expectations. Saying you need our help. You're not capable by yourself. We'll help you. We feel really bad for you, so we'll help you.
That just seems like such a no-brainer solution, like immediate solution that could be passed in Congress, that could be presented. And I would argue if you are a member of the GOP or you're a member of their staff or chief of staff or a legislative director and you're listening to this right now and you're thinking about what to push that the base is going to love you for 2021 and 2022, regardless of who is president, truly, it does not matter if it is Joe Biden. It does not matter if it is Donald Trump. The issue of our time is now voter ID. It is now the enfranchisement of Americans, because I think a lot of people don't quite understand this. I was in Scranton, Pennsylvania a week before the election, and I was talking with people up there. This is a Rust Belt area that was wildly depressed under the Obama era. It hit catastrophic times, and then it came roaring back.
Lackawanna County came
roaring back with the advent of Dunder Mifflin, with the advent of fracking.
Real news.
And when you have 50,000 people voting for Trump, which is what happened inside of the Scranton Township area, you have 50,000 people voting for Trump, and you shove 50,000 illegal ballots into one mailbox in Pennsylvania, you have disintegrated and robbed the entire city of Scranton, Pennsylvania, 50,000 Americans of their constitutionally protected right to vote. You have disintegrated an entire city. You vapor it like Thanos. You just snapped your finger and the entire city is gone. That's what you do. You cancel them out. You cancel out their dreams, their ideas. These people went and they marched the polls. They, whatever you think of COVID, they risked their lives, whatever. They went and they voted. And then you can, in a snap of a finger, eliminate the entire city of Scranton.
Well, what's alarming to me is we're not even talking about the fact that your vote is the most fundamental aspect of what it means to be an American, that you can participate in this process, that we have a government that was for the people, by the people, that we determine the outcome of these elections, not the elites, not people who are already in office, not people who are on your TV screen every day. The fact that that is just fundamentally changed overnight, literally while we were sleeping, because people were stuffing tens of thousands of ballots into the backs of cars, driving them across state lines, allegedly, using that word over and
the
over again.
The whole show has allegedly.
The whole show is allegedly from the legal perspective here.
It protects us. Allegedly.
How is that not completely shocking to everyone, regardless of who you voted for? And we say all the time, we have for several nights in a row, this is so much more than who gets inaugurated on January
20th. That's exactly right.
This is the fundamental identity of what it means to be the United States of America and Western civilization.
It is a complete and total attack on the West is what it is. And, you know, the idea of a fair and free election is fundamental towards any sort of decent society. And if you are not able to confirm or corroborate actually who's voting in your elections, it's very important. I wrote this earlier, which is that the more tactile, the more tactical elections become, so the more it becomes about tactics and less about arguments, the more divided the country will become and the less we trust the system. This is nothing more than just gaming the system now. It's like, who do you have staffed where we're able to put the, you know, pieces of paper where we need them?
Mm-hmm.
None of this election was actually about ideas.
No.
President Trump wanted this to be about ideas. Joe Biden wanted this to be about machinery.
Yes. He did say, you don't have to vote for me. I don't need you on election day. I need you afterwards. That's a quote. Fact check. Missing
allegedly.
Context. But this is a quote that he said.
Correct.
He said it at an event. You have the tape. You can roll the tape. I don't need you now. I need you after I'm elected.
And all
he says this to voters at a campaign event. Have you ever heard a presidential candidate talk like this?
At a rare campaign event, because all of us were saying for days leading up to election day, why are you taking a vacation? Why are you not speaking to voters? This doesn't make any sense. Why would you take several days off? Because he had to.
Isabel, question for you.
The fix was in.
Question for you, Isabel. Have you heard Barack Obama congratulate Joe Biden on shattering his record for the most votes of any man for president?
No, but I have heard Michelle Obama say we should target conservatives and never forget about the complacency that they had in not standing up against racism and not standing up to this COVID-19 pandemic.
Do we have the George Bush clip? Are we even looking for it? So, okay, we're still looking for it.
So it's George Bush arm wrestling Satan. And
that's what decided the election in the Supreme Court, you guys.
You got us, Russians.
Oh, man.
Oh, you got us. How did you know?
So I'm scrolling through Twitter here because as much as I hate this site, it's important to understand what people are saying. The fact that The Bachelorette is the number one trending subject right now is exactly why we do this live stream, because
consume.
We need to keep talking about this.
So continue to email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. And what we'll most likely do is we're going to adjourn in a little bit so we can watch and see what the president is so excited about on Hannity.
Yeah.
And we'll keep the stream going and you guys can stay cued. And then we're going to kind of replay the tapes of that and everything that's going on here. So, Benny, what has this taught you about the Republican Party? What has this taught you about kind of the party that we are and we're headed with the Trump movement, you know, whether we win this or lose this?
The Republican Party has an opportunity right now to expose – a generational opportunity to expose their political enemies as the frauds that they are. And it has never, ever has your enemy been laid more bare on its back with its chest exposed, like for you to properly like take the stab.
Mm-hmm.
This fraud is so egregious. It's so out in the open. The censorship is so blatant. The – nature of the fraud is so egregious and the solution so present, so prescient. I mean,
what
just
great
like
great diction.
It's you're sitting there with the solutions that could preserve our democracy for another generation. I have a small baby. She's 3 months old and you could preserve this country for her.
Mm-hmm.
And all it's going to take is Republicans with guts to put their foot down and say, this is the seminal issue of our generation, and we will protect voting rights, enfranchisement. Today, enfranchisement. Tomorrow, this is what we fought the Civil War for. Mm-hmm. This is what we this is what we had in 1865. This was our country. We wanted enfranchisement, Voting Rights Act. This is 1964 all over again, the Civil Rights Act. This is us protecting your future, because there is nothing more sacred in this country. The only thing that separates us from the dictatorships is our right to free and fair elections.
Yeah.
And so if you lose that, then we are nothing less than a tin pot dictatorship. We might as well be in North Korea.
Hmm. That's exactly right. Continue to email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. We want to take some questions here. People say they're asking a lot about this USPS worker. Can we play that again, please, of the Richard Hopkins? It's absolutely hard to believe of how these federal agents act like thugs against citizens because they've been deployed by the Democrat Oversight Committee.
Thugs.
Watch this. This is our own government. This guy should be arrested for what he's doing. Play tape.
They were grilling the hell out of me.
How are you feeling right now?
I'm kind of pissed. I feel like I just got played.
And I heard him say to the supervisor that they messed up yesterday. I was like, oh, what did they mess up on? And he told the supervisor that they had postmarked one of the ballots for the 4th instead of the 3rd, because they were supposed to put them for the 3rd.
And so let me make good on that promise right away, okay? This storm is getting crazy, right? And it's out of a lot of people's control. And so the reason they called me in is to try to harness that storm, try to reel it back in before it gets really crazy.
Okay? I understand.
Because we have senators involved. We have the Department of Justice involved. We have
Trump's lawyer's team's gotten a hold of me.
I am trying to twist you a little bit, because in that, believe it or not, your mind will kick in.
Okay.
We like to control our mind, and when we do that, we can convince ourselves of a memory. But when you're under a little bit of stress, which is what I'm doing to you purposely, your mind can be a little bit clearer. And we're going to do a different exercise, too, to make your mind a little bit clearer. Okay?
There you go.
So, but this is all on purpose.
It seems like they were trying to make me distrust y'all. And at the same time, it kind of affected, but at the same time, I was like, no, these guys have had my back since the get-go. That's why I continued.
Do you think these federal agents have your back?
At this point, no. Hell
do you think these federal agents are really interested in investigating fraud?
Honestly, I don't think they are.
And in fact, you heard Weisenberg tell a supervisor they were backdating the ballots to make it appear they've been collected on November 3rd. You still stand by that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good for him.
I mean, that is complete and total thug government.
Yep.
I mean, that is no different than how the mafia would operate. It's just the mafia would never talk that way because they would be afraid that somebody else would be listening to their conversation. I'm not scaring you, but I'm scaring you.
Mm-hmm. When they went in to interview Michael Flynn at the White House, it was an entrapment operation. And they sat him down and Peter Strzok himself had a very similar conversation with Michael Flynn, where he warped and asked him these questions in order to get him to answer a specific way, mm-hmm. in order to get a specific outcome, in order to get a specific headline out of Michael Flynn and get him fired, because they were so terrified that Michael Flynn knew the intelligence infrastructure, mm-hmm. knew the Iran deal back to front, able to decouple and rip the tank treads off of what Obama had built quicker than anyone else. Remember, Michael Flynn was fired from Obama. And the way they got him was this. This is remarkable. They should have, by the way. Let's put shame where it belongs. The Trump administration should have never allowed that meeting to happen.
Right.
They should have had counsel present. Michael Flynn should have never been meeting one-on-one with FBI agents. But this is the tactics. This is precisely the tactics that they use in order to trick a very wise, smart, and innocent man, Michael Flynn, into saying something that they could eventually run as this was misinformation.
Entrapment.
It's entrapment.
And so the Democrat House Oversight Committee has wrongly said that Richard Hopkins has now recanted what he said. That is not true.
They wanted the headline.
Well, that's I find this so interesting.
They wanted that headline.
Because the loudest voices on the left side of the aisle are saying that conservatives and Republicans currently in office, including President Trump, are somehow manipulating this idea of the government and the highest powers that be in government, like the DOJ, to refuse to have a peaceful transition of power, that it's all manipulative, it's happening behind the scenes, it's scary because all of a sudden the government's on their side. What we're seeing is very, very clearly the opposite of that.
So what's really interesting is that the Democrats, the Michael Moore types, they used to be people that were skeptics of the agency and of the bureau.
Yes.
Now they just decided, let's just take it over and run it like our own gangsterized Chicago government.
But haven't they done that with every institution?
Yeah,
that challenged them? Academia?
That's
entertainment,
liberals versus
leftists.
Media? Big tech? They just take it over? There was a time when Mark Zuckerberg, all of us would have cheered in the streets for the way Mark Zuckerberg talked about the protection of political speech on both sides on Facebook.
Yeah, but he doesn't do it.
Well, this was before the left gets to you. Before the left comes in and just hammers you with New York Times headlines and like make sure that when you walk into the opera at the Kennedy Center, you're hissed at, right, instead of applauded. This is what they do to John Roberts. This is how they get you.
Well, this is what we talk about all the time with Turning Point and all the other work that we do in the social movement of conservatism, is that politics is downstream from culture and you have to reach people where they are at culturally, because all of a sudden it bleeds into culture if you don't reach people where they're at now, if you embrace complacency. That's what we're seeing all across our society.
This was the horror of Trump for them, Isabel.
Yeah.
Like knowing that you and I do this professionally, the horror of Trump was that he crossed cultural boundaries.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that he was able to tap into the celebritizing of the political office that not even Barack Obama could reach, levels on not even Obama could reach. And he was able to suddenly weaponize his celebrity for the right. And that is the largest power. That's the biggest power in America.
Well, and he talks to people in a language that they understand, in a way that they understand. I mean, for goodness sakes, this president decorated the White House with memes on poster boards during a digital summit at the White House.
We are not worthy. I was at that summit.
There you go.
Were you at the summit?
I was not. I was still a student at that time. But
memes all over everywhere. The White House.
And that, it's silly, but it does. It represents something so much bigger than one guy in office. It represents this idea of culture and peace. People and ordinary citizens versus the establishment machine.
And if the Republicans take this opportunity and smash once and for all the corrupt, rotten core of the left, the institutional left, then they will have an opportunity to win working class minorities, women, which you are already seeing trending towards Republicans. We are now representative of the party of the minority worker.
Well, and President Donald Trump built a multiracial middle class party.
Yes.
When the Republican Party used to be like, we're not the country club party. Get me another bourbon at my country club. Like, no, you actually were the country club party before Trump.
Yes.
Like, you were Mitt Romney and you were the Rockefeller party and you were the Bush party and you dominated the suburbs.
Yes.
You got enough of the rules because you said their guns are going to be taken away, but the rules didn't vote in big numbers. Yep. And you had this like pseudo kind of like shady deal with the Democrats. Like, you take the inner cities and do whatever you want with them. Stay out of our suburbs. And we'll take care of the rules and we'll see who wins the elections. And next thing you knew, you know, Republicans were so out of touch with working people.
Yes.
And working people were like, where do we go? They're like, oh, our parents like Kennedy, so I guess we like Kennedy. And, you know, Biden goes to the unions and that's fine. And no candidate thought to actually go to the muscular class in our country. People that actually have to work at their hands. There's 100 million people that work at their hands every single day. 100 million people. Those are electricians. Those are carpenters, HVAC.
Yep.
They work in service industry. They're truck drivers. Do we have the truck driver clip here, actually? There might be a national truck revolt, by the way. The muscular class is going to start. I think it's in the lineup. And the muscular class is going to start pushing back in this country. And they should.
Well, they already are, frankly. And culturally, what we're seeing, especially on social media, feelings about TikTok aside, you're seeing thousands of videos on TikTok from people who work in construction.
I don't know what the truckers are doing on TikTok.
They're so excited, though, to share their excitement of this president, to share their excitement of America and what we were founded to be. All of a sudden, you're seeing all of these new ways that people are finding to express their voice in unique ways. And that's why protecting their vote is so important, because that's where their voice goes.
So breaking right now from one of our listeners, Sandy, who did what we told her to do, to contact Pennsylvania legislatures and say, do not seat electors.
Nice.
Pennsylvania Senator Katie Muff. Is that a Republican or a Democrat? We're about to make her famous. She is a Democrat, obvious. It'd be a shame if everyone watching this contacted Katie Muff. She said, "Dear Miss F, one of our listeners, thank you for your concern regarding Pennsylvania's election process. The senator understands that in order for true democracy to be upheld, free and fair elections must be a guarantee. Our office is not aware of any credible instances of voter fraud in Pennsylvania or any issues with corruption regarding the ballot counting process. Current allegations of voter fraud regarding mail-in ballots are simply not true and unfortunately have caused unnecessary chaos and circulation of misinformation. Further research has consistently shown that voter fraud is in any method of voting is rare." All a bunch of nonsense. "Then explain to me, Senator Muth, why there was a 1,774% increase in voters of the age of 90 in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. How is there 95% turnout in Philadelphia? Why did Philadelphia stop counting votes? Biden had no ground game, no enthusiasm. No one liked him. They were voting against Trump, and yet he did better than Obama in Philadelphia with no – and he did better than Hillary in Philadelphia. How is it that Trump did worse in Philadelphia but better right across the border in New Jersey? Right across – literally right across the border, Trump did better. Philadelphia, he did worse. Where are the answers to all that, Miss Muth, Senator Pennsylvania Senator Katie Muth? These people are – so incredibly dangerous, the demagoguing they are doing to our country. And they say there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud. So I did this on my show earlier, and I want to tell you what's so dangerous about this. So, Benny, when I say there's zero evidence of widespread voter fraud, let's deconstruct this sentence. You've heard that before, right?
Yes.
Isabel, you've heard that?
Oh, yes. Sentence diagramming. Who remembers that?
So sentence diagramming. Zero widespread. That's weird. You have a objective number, zero, and a subjective statement, widespread. How do you measure widespread? How about 182 pages of voter fraud? How about 1,000 dead voters? Would that be widespread? Well, it's all in the eye of the beholder, right? And so widespread, it's a stupid number to use. It's non-scientific. It's unmathematic. So it's that, how about 1% voter fraud? I can show you 1% voter fraud. And if you looked into it, you would find it. There's no evidence, because it'd be like saying this. You know, in my day-to-day life, I just don't see money laundering. I just don't see it. Therefore, it must not exist. In my day-to-day life, I just don't see child sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. I don't think that exists. I just don't see women being sex trafficked. It must not be there. Oh, no, no. Go get a criminal investigative unit. And guess what? President Trump starts looking at child sex trafficking. He starts to find it. You don't find what you don't look for.
Also, I'm just having such a hard time understanding why everyone's saying we should just completely sweep this under the rug because we don't have credible evidence of widespread fraud. I'm sorry. I'm upset by the idea of just one ballot being fraudulent, that we took someone's right away to voice their unique vote in this election to be a part of this process. That bothers me, because that's not who we are as the United States of America. And yet all of a sudden you need to prove that half the country has fraudulent ballots in order for this to be taken seriously. That doesn't make sense to me.
Go ahead, Benny.
What's the difference between me and you? Like, I'm not talking party registration. What's the difference between me and you? If you think that Joe Biden is the elected president and me sitting here confused at this process, what's the difference? The difference between me and you is that if a Republican in Salt Red, Texas, in the reddest county of Texas, in West Texas, won, and a single dead Republican voted for him,
it'd be nationwide news.
I would be upset. I don't care what the New York Times says. I would say, deduct that. Find out who did that and punish them.
Yeah, that's right.
In Salt Red Plains, Texas, I would say, wrong. Guy won by 50,000 votes to 2. I would say, is a single one of those ballots fraudulent? Wrong.
That matters.
Find it, hunt it down. Investigate. It doesn't matter that that is not even for the office of the presidency. It doesn't matter that I don't live in Texas. It matters that it's my party that is doing the fraud, and I find that brings shame upon me, and that brings shame upon the party that I support. And therefore, it's worth the consequences if they throw the guy out of office or if they jail the person who's responsible for it. It's worth the consequences, because a fair and noble election is what holds us all together as Americans. And there's something actually more pure and more important than getting your guy in. And that is the preservation of this country.
And the preservation of the system that gives us the leaders to govern our country.
Correct.
Let's do a little throwback. Look at George W. Bush saying exactly what Benny said he was saying. Play tape.
Nice.
Voters who clearly punched preferences in other races on the ballot but did not do so in the presidential race should not have their vote interpreted by local officials in a process that invites human error and mischief. All Americans want a fair and accurate count of the votes in Florida. Mm. And I believe if there is a fair and accurate count of the votes in Florida, we will prevail.
So why do we give you that opportunity, George W. Bush, and you don't want Donald Trump to have that opportunity?
Mm. Let's go. Donald Trump should work on his pronunciation of mischief.
Well, mischief. George W. Bush talks very slow. Let's go to the trucker revolt here. Look at this. Play tape.
A lot of truck drivers, a lot of people who are kin or have something to do with trucking, oil field one way or the other. As of now, the word is November 29th. November 29th, we park them and we don't move. I know it's pretty close to Thanksgiving or right around that time, but November 29th is the day we take this country back. Spread the word. It's our time. We say what happens. Y'all be safe out there. It's about to get real.
Trucker TikTok. What did I say?
Hard to hear. I think he was saying he was going to revolt or rebel or something, right? Is this one easier to hear? I think so. Play tape.
April, when truckers were the most important people in the world, because we were bringing your toilet paper and your gas to heat your house. Everybody was howling at night for the first responders, because we've been out here in the middle of this pandemic this whole time, bringing you shit. And how do you thank us? You closed down the restaurants that we eat at. Okay, we can deal with it. Then you close down our rest stops. Now in Wyoming, they're talking about not even plowing the highways this winter because they can't afford it. And to top it all off, 70 million of you guys voted against the trucking industry, against first response, against oil and gas. We ain't going to forget this. You already have, but we won't.
And that's exactly right. The muscular class is pushing back.
I like that, the muscular class.
Me too.
Did you coin that?
No. Victor Davis Hanson did. We've been using it, but it's very good. I think we're seeing a complete and total recalibration of how people consume information in our country.
Correct.
I think that we're seeing a complete and total change in how people actually are, you know, who do they trust and where they actually get their information from.
Correct. Correct. And you, I mean, you listen, you just, it, when you're telling the truth, it's amazing how when you're being dishonest and when everything you're saying is dishonest and it's built on that, it doesn't, it's grotesque. It doesn't last. It can't stand up. There's biblical scriptures about building your house on the sand that you can go back to whatever iteration or parable you want. But the truth is it can't last. That type of dishonesty never lasts forever. This is the kind of dishonesty that you saw in the Soviet Union when all press was owned and operated by the state. It was a laugh. They were made a laughingstock of, and eventually it collapsed. And you will see that inside of our corporate media edifices and inside of these institutions. You'll watch the collapse, the slow collapse happen, because nothing so dishonest or grotesque can stand for long, especially in a free country.
Please continue to email us your questions. We're going to take some questions now. Freedom@charliekirk.com. Freedom@charliekirk.com. Here's a good one, Isabel. Someone says, I am a student in college and I'm being censored for my beliefs. What should I do?
Keep speaking up. Do not let the left silence you guys. I've lived it as a college student for 4 years, working with Turning Point USA as a chapter president. I do it professionally now as a spokesperson for our organization, doing this in media and on social media. The left will go to any lengths necessary to call you the most extreme name under the sun and completely censor you, whether that's online or in person, like we're seeing with this new Trump Accountability Project. That's all in an effort to keep you silent. So do not give in to that. They're terrified because you're speaking the truth. We just talked about how when you're saying lies, it's grotesque, it's obvious. But the same is true on the other side of that coin. Truth has a ring to it. And we love to say that all the time. You recognize it when you hear it. So you guys keep speaking up. Don't back down. And you're never alone. We have your back with Turning Point USA.
We have to continue to expose this fraud. And when it comes to what's happening on the campuses and what's happening in schools across the country, it's more important than ever to speak out and fight. And, you know, that's exactly why we do what we do at Turning Point USA. And if you guys want to get involved, it's tpusa.com. Okay, Benny, we're getting a lot of questions. People are wondering, like, who are you and what's your day job?
Oh, my God.
Who am I and what's my day job?
People are saying, like, where'd you find this guy? And by the way, they're out there wondering why you're blending in with the background. All they see are your limbs and your face. You wore the worst thing you possibly could have worn.
Let's meme it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, meme it. Okay? Meme it. I want to see the memes. I want to see the memes. I am chief creative officer here at Turning Point USA. All of the fun viral videos and content and memes that you see are generated by a team of incredible content creators that I get the extreme pleasure of working with and honor of working with the best creative team in the industry. We also, you know, I host multiple shows really love making memes myself. And so that is what I do. It's hard to explain, especially at like Christmas parties when you're talking to my parents' boomer friends who just look at me like a confused cocker spaniel going, what are you talking about, young man? But truly the left cannot meme. And I cannot wear a shirt that doesn't blend directly into the background.
I'm seeing lots of floating head comments. So.
Yeah, if I was
Benny, you're the floating head.
If I were,
and you wear your earpiece perfectly.
Black shirts matter, and so I'm not going to back down. I love this shirt. I got this for $5, I think, at H&M. And you can't bully me. You can't bully me.
The left can't silence the floating head.
That's exactly right.
Someone has a question from Argentina.
Wow.
Facundo Orozco. What a great name. They do names better in South America than we do here. This question is for you, Benny. What do you do if you can't find news you trust and answer without saying Newsmax?
Ooh.
Do you – Charlie Kirk show, obviously. The next Charlie Kirk show, the next episode of the Charlie Kirk show, I've got a sneak peek. It's Charlie Kirk going through the Taco Bell drive-thru saying, a chalupa and a gordita.
Oh, my goodness.
If you can't find, obviously, millions of Americans are deeply distrustful of institutional corporate media who act like sycophantic DNC press secretaries, and they are paid to lie to you. And so the press has been inverted. Our intelligence agencies were there to protect us and spy on our foreign enemies. Now it's the opposite. Mm-hmm. It's foreign governments working with them to spy on us. And the press we pay the press to hold other people accountable, to hold our powerful accountable. Now it's the other way around. The powerful are paying the press to shut us up, us the people. And so you cannot go wrong by finding specific accounts of truth tellers. Tim Pool is a wonderful truth teller. Dave Rubin, non-corporate. I think that Ben Shapiro, Charlie Kirk, Dan Bongino, wonderful podcast, must listen to's. Clearly, like Jordan Peterson has a massive following as well. These are all people who are not sponsored or controlled by corporate media entities, and they are free to tell you what is on their mind. Is what's on their mind right? Do I agree with it 100% of the time? Absolutely not. All those people I disagree with at certain times. However, you're going to hear a real, and you're going to hear a true and a raw, and typically a very tuned in. I know, especially the guy sitting next to me, no one is more tuned into the Republican base and the conservative base in America than him. And I would argue in closing that this is the best way to do media. The best way to do media is to get rid of this idea that I am an independent arbiter of information and I have no bias. Bull. Of course you have bias. Of course Chris Wallace has bias. The best way to do presidential debates and the best way to do media is to say, hey, I'm a conservative. And so, presidential candidate, I'm going to ask you questions that represent the 70 million, 100 million Americans that I am speaking on behalf of. And then this, my lib colleague over here, Chris Wallace, all right, Kristen Welker, whoever, they're going to represent the liberal side of you. That is the most honest way to do media, is to say, hey, I'm a conservative. So these are the cares and concerns of me. And if I'm factually incorrect, then that's wrong. And I'm going to apologize for that. That's the way to do it.
So Bray, a lot of you are asking us to cover this story on Gateway Pundit. I love Gateway Pundit. They do a good job, the Hoffs. Breaking exclusive analysis of election night data from all states show millions of votes either switched from President Trump to Biden or were lost using Dominion and other systems, allegedly. So we've reported on a number. It says here in the Gateway Pundit, We've reported on numerous events in the 2020 election, which are being referred to as system glitches in the media. Last night, we provided with another glitch, this time in Wisconsin. And this story goes on to show that in Wisconsin, it's a breaking exclusive system glitch also uncovered in Wisconsin. Reversal of swap voters removes lead from Joe Biden. This, according to the Gateway Pundit. And you look into this, it's very compelling. And we know that this happened already in Michigan. And so, look, you know, we're hearing about canvassing and all this. How about we bring in the feds and we start to look into this like it's a foreign intelligence operation?
Fascinating.
I mean, it'll take an afternoon to find out really what's going on here. It's Dominion Voting Systems, which was in partnership with the Clinton Foundation. It was pushed into many different states across the country. Dominion Voting Systems. It's very, very important we get to the bottom of this. And so we're going to look into this story a little bit more. And it says, when this one is confirmed, it will result in a 19,500 vote gain for Trump, making the Wisconsin race a total toss-up. And now we're going to find out, you know, the veracity of that. But it sure looks like it's very compelling after it happened in Michigan with 6,000 votes that were changed and a 30% change. There's also a really good website called everylegalvote.com. Everylegalvote.com. It's really good. It has these different tabs of the current status of the state, what would happen without voter fraud. And it goes to show.
Oh, cool.
It's really cool. It shows Donald Trump the winner. It's really cool that without voter fraud, Donald Trump would have won 307 electoral votes. Everylegalvote.com. And it's really well resourced.
Can I see that?
It's really well sourced, I should say.
What do we got? Oh, Minnesota. Okay, and Arizona. Okay.
And they do a great job here. And so also it's important to realize that there's so much information happening right now that the media does not want to cover, because a lot of the activist media, in fact, a majority of the activist media, would vastly prefer just moving on and coronating Joe Biden. What we are doing right here on this program, which is not a lot of people are doing this at all, is actually diving deep into these stories. And by the way, a lot of you that email us, you know, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com, we're seeing these stories. We look into them. Some of them are true. Some of them are not. But then we're able to report on them when we look into it and we do the data analysis right here. Some people are asking, does Dianne Feinstein's husband own a part of Dominion? I haven't been able to confirm that. We're still looking into that. We've gotten a lot of questions on that. I want to thank some of our supporters. I want to thank the Hardy family from Idaho for supporting us. I also want to thank Teresa from California for supporting us for $20 right here. Freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Benny, how can people follow you on social media and support you?
Benny Johnson, that's my name. Just search me on all the accounts. Hopefully I'll be the one who pops up. If not, it's a Russian bot, and you better click like on Jesus arm wrestling Hillary.
Or Mr. T and Nancy Reagan. Yes. Isabel, how can people follow and support you?
Isabel Brown. And I have to say, I find it really awesome. We were talking about how cool names were in Argentina. Our names are Isabel Brown, Charlie Kirk, and Benny Johnson. So it's really easy to find us on social media. We don't have very complicated names, you guys.
Every morning, we're going to be here from 12 to 2 covering this news. There's some new breaking news we're looking into tonight that we're not able to share with you yet. So that's going to come tomorrow morning and tomorrow night. Till then, if you guys want to support us and the work we're doing, it's charliekirk.com/support. We are going to keep the pressure on. When you have McConnell, you have Roy Blunt, you have Pompeo, all these people all of a sudden saying maybe Trump won, there might be something to this. We have to keep the pressure on, everybody. That's what this program does. You are in charge. We're here because of what you guys are able to do. And email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you guys so much for watching. See you tomorrow. God bless.